Than right here, right now.
Look at that. We take just a week and a day off. We go to goddamn war.
Yeah. And this guy over here buys a whole new outfit.
You like it?
Look at that.
Ladies and gentlemen, shot down over the skies of Kosovo and saved. Here he is, fighter pilot Rabe Seawag.
Thank God you're back. Thank God. I have to tell you, Sam Huff was elected to the High School Athlete Hall of Fame.
I understand you subsisted entirely on ants.
That's all.
While we were gone.
And that's how I told time. I watched the ants.
And, of course, the homing beacon that we put up his ass.
There's that, too.
He's had it for years.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Pop and all the ships at sea. Picking up right where they left off was Farmer Kate serving brown eggs from deep in the dark recesses of her amber pillows. Here's Don and Mike.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Robbie. And hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast to nationwide. As we found out in our meeting we had moments ago with Kent Stevens, still via Westwood One, darling. Sorry about that.
Normally, when I come back from vacation, I feel like I haven't been here for quite some time. That meeting with Ken put me basically 3 weeks ahead of schedule.
Welcome back. Don Geronimo, Michael Barron right here. That's why we still this day call it your Cotton Pick and Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, follow us down the stairs.
You. From the modern studios, of WJFK in Washington, D.C. Our career being mismanaged right now by the Jackal. He's up on the third floor, compulsively pulling on his skin bag.
Yes, he is.
Gerbil is here. He's in the fetal position under his desk on the luxurious third floor. Cufflinks, hey, come look me over, Cufflinks. In New York City, and he's your prostate, of course, doing dick, and he's in Florida now, not in Chicago. Hey, all you soccer moms and the Hillary Clinton mom haircuts, please take two minutes to move away in the back room. Whip this thing out.
Oh, you already put it in the Easter Bunny outfit.
Oh, it is great to be back.
No lie.
Yes, it is.
Great to be back. Still broadcasting on the Westwood One Network. we're going to hold off on all of that. That's not the way to come back from vacation.
No, of course not. You don't want to come back, all tanned and rested and then start whining right out of the chute. That wouldn't be appropriate.
We'll maybe do that on tomorrow's episode.
There you go.
But it's time for a move. Would you agree after that meeting?
Yeah.
It's time for a move.
Yes, time for some forward motion.
But for right now, we're still with Westwood One. Station count, as we left, 62. Uh-huh. Number of listeners, 4.5 million, all of them Arbitron rated, and for that we are eternally grateful.
We certainly are.
And here he is, to my left and your right, radio friend, and there he is in the outpatient clinic, our friend Guy Birdley. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Mike.
You look healthy.
Hi.
You look like you pulled through.
I feel healthy. I feel great. I'm glad I did it.
Are you in any pain?
Only hurts when I laugh.
Buzz had his elective plastic surgery while we were gone on vacation.
It only hurts when you laugh?
Right.
Okay, let's do low-budget Jeopardy right now, then.
And first thing I want to say, yes, everybody, this is not a safe. We are back.
Hello.
Hello there.
How are you?
Hello, America. 4 hours out of your stinking life just got better.
Of course, this is real. This is not a drill.
And we're here all the way to the friggin' 4th of July now. And we're glad to be with you.
Yeah,
we are.
We really are.
That meeting with Ken notwithstanding, very glad to be back.
Because now at our advanced stages, there's really nothing else that we know how to do.
As I mentioned, I think I predicted this before we went on vacation. First 2 days of vacation were great.
Yes.
By the third day, I'd already had a major blowout with my wife.
Uh-huh.
By the fourth day, I was already thinking, gee, if I was at home now, I'd be getting ready to go to work. So it is great to be back, and we thank you for your patronage.
Thank ye.
And, we got to start the show off with a big old thank you.
Mm-hmm.
To everybody listening to our show on WJFK.
This is great news to come home to.
Washington, D.C., we just got our monthly ratings in.
Really?
Yeah, are you ready for the biggest ratings that we've had in over 3 years?
Very, very good.
Yeah. Pretty good ratings. Make it a 9.7 share.
Mm.
What is that, 18 to 34 at 9.7?
Way to go.
Yep. Overall, we got a 5.5.
Fantastic.
25-54, a 7.2.
That is strong.
18 plus, a 7.9.
Way to go.
Way to go, Washington! Hello, Washington! No, it's great to come back and get those great ratings. And we thank you for that, the Arbitron ratings. Mm-hmm. And Ken, thank you for mentioning absolutely nothing about that during our meeting with you.
Yeah, always good to see him. Always good. As I said, really, I have a different feel than normally when we come back from vacation just because of that meeting. Mm-hmm. It's just In what, 15 minutes that we had the meeting?
20 minutes.
It was just...
almost the life right out of you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, okay. You know, the whole time, towards the end of the meeting, I'm sitting there, and I know, I'm not, this is not busting Ken's chops, but at the end of the meeting, I'm sitting there going,
I'm back at work now.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm back at work.
Well, listen, thank you for listening.
Yes.
We appreciate the great ratings. Mm-hmm. We're very glad to be back.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, no kid, we're glad to be back. Oh, and we have a new station. Let's pop the cork on this one, please.
Well, I learned some things on my vacation. That's why I'm going to
stand back right here.
Good idea.
Stand back.
Wanted it move across the room like that.
Now, I'll tell you this, that we didn't go to the Midnight Buffet not one time when we were on the show.
Well, good. I'll tell you, what's on my shirt right now? It looks like the Midnight Buffet.
And I'm going to squeeze out our newest station if you give me just a moment.
Oh, come on. Hey, look, a peanut.
There's a little booger right there.
Hello there.
Hey, it's a return to the megalopolis of Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah! That is 95.1 FM.
All right.
WCHZ.
Just in time for the Masters Golf Tournament.
Not if I rock, baby.
Jeez.
Woo!
C-H-Z.
Cheese.
Yeah.
W-Cheese. Thank you.
All right.
Hey, let's carve off a nice slice of cheese.
Okay, phone call and then on with the show. Hello, Don on my show.
Welcome back, my radio gods. Hallelujah, praise be. We are so happy to hear ye.
Thank ye.
We're very happy to be back, and we're happy for your sentiments.
Man.
I only wish you were the general manager of this station.
It's not even funny.
What?
What?
You guys rock so hard, it's not even funny. You're the best.
Thank you.
Since I'm up here in Bomer, hon, can't wait to see you tomorrow night down in Bomer's in Pasadena.
That's right. We got Las Vegas Sound Show. Totally forgot about that tomorrow night.
Bomer's in Pasadena.
Las Vegas Sound Show, and listen to this lineup. The Homo Joe Challenge, the All New Smell Your Gal Gang,
yeah.
The Monica Lewinsky Giant Cigar Challenge, live videotape of Dennis Murphy skydiving in Sacramento.
Yeah, Baltimore, you'll love that.
And the underwear or lack thereof fashion show.
It's going to be great. We can't wait. It's going to be nice and steamy.
That's tomorrow night, Las Vegas style show. We hit the stage at Daytona's in Pasadena, Maryland. We hit the stage at 9P Daytona's.
Want to see you there. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be raunchy. And again,
my better judgment,
I've invited Lewis to come to the show.
No!
Sorry, everybody.
Well, he didn't have to go to jail, so I decided to let him come to the show. Come on, Mike. Come on, Mike. What is that? Is that the last nail in your coffin?
Did you guys listen to your own best of yesterday? Did you hear how annoying he is?
Oh, he's totally annoying. And now that he's passed all of his core stuff, I can tell you what happened at our last Las Vegas-style show.
Yes?
Remember Lewis was going to do the experiment where he's going to drink his own urine on stage?
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, I thought that he was going to, like, get a glass of apple juice or something.
Mm-hmm. Right? Right.
Well, the boy really did urinate into a giant frosty mug.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went up on stage to drink it, because he is just such a retard, he put some in his mouth and then he spit it out all over the crowd.
Right.
And immediately, all of these undercover guys came up on stage with their badges and grabbed him. We don't need no badges. And we couldn't talk about this for the longest time because Lewis had to appear in court last week
and
on these charges. Just like, remember when Charles Barkley, the basketball player, when he spit on somebody in a crowd one
time? Right. Yeah, it's assault.
Right, it's assault. So Ken said, don't talk about it.
Right, and so until, you know, everything was over, and then now it's over, and then now he's... I'm so happy to hear that he's coming back.
Bang, be back on the show.
Is it worse of an assault because it was with urine? Is it like assault with a devil or something?
No. No, in Lewis's case, it should be. But no, it wasn't, and as it turns out, the guys didn't show up in court last week, so Lewis is a free...
In that case, the heebie-jeebies after having Louis pee on him.
Lewis is a free man.
Yes.
Lewis will not be doing the urination stunt at tomorrow night's show.
I can't imagine why not.
He will not be, but we will find a new way to abuse him tomorrow night to make him atone for his sins.
Well, we certainly can pass him through the crowd.
Yeah, we'll do that, sure.
Very good, and I do enjoy that aspect of Lewis. That's about it.
Big Las Vegas-style show tomorrow night at Daytona's in Pasadena, Maryland. We'll see you there. Thank you, my friend.
friend.
Thank you, Dynamite. Great to have you back. We love you. Ready?
Thank you. Love you. Thank you.
Very nice first call. That's good. That bodes well for the next several months.
Yeah, all that stuff with the Lewis, the stuff that happened at the last Las Vegas style show, that's why we had to be so secretive about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there was like some charge against him.
Yeah, you know, crazy. Lewis used a little bad judgment. I can't imagine that happening. That's just totally amazing.
He's such
amazing.
A level-headed young man.
Yeah, he normally has his act together so totally and so completely. It's just amazing that he did that.
So that's tomorrow night, Daytona's. Good way to come back.
Yeah, now that's for all our Annapolitans, too. Annapolis people just come up and see us because we're, that's right, you know, about halfway between Baltimore and Annapolis.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don Mike, how you guys doing?
Hey, Bobby.
Bobby. Well, it's great talking to you guys. I never called in before, but I listen to you pretty much every day. And just calling to say welcome back.
Yeah, okay, thanks. All right, see you.
Okay,
see you.
Call two. Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye. Mike, we did get a bunch of entries in the Ugly Breath Contest.
We did? Oh, good. I'm looking forward to seeing them.
And I've selected just a couple to show you.
Very good. And they are definitely contenders.
These are the two worst ones we've received thus far.
Very good.
Ugly Breath Contest. Sponsored by Fashion Fantasy. Call them at 1-800-637-6842. Don't forget, ladies, this is a real contest, the Ugly Breath Contest. Send your pictures to Donna Mike Ugly Breath Contest, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007.
And remember, the motto of the Ugly Breath Contest will be the judge of that.
All right. Now, we've received... I got to tell you, I was not floored by the response we got back. I thought we'd get back and have 100 entries.
Huh.
We got about 12 entries thus far.
That's good. Though.
About 12, but that's how it always goes on the show.
Sure,
always
of course.
Start slow. It takes a while to build up momentum. And you know, we weren't here last week to hype them.
And I think once we start discussing the entries, that's when they're really going to pour in.
And it started, of course, when we got the surprise revelation that a lot of women don't feel good about their breasts.
That's right.
So we thought maybe we could help out.
We can help because that's the kind of guys we are.
Exactly. I picked two. And I'll say, of the 12 entries we received, like five of them, the breasts look perfectly fine to me. They're up in the office. You
well, see, that's
them.
What we were counting on also. We, you know, let's be honest. We're counting on those entries, too. The entries that we see nothing wrong, but you're welcome to be a fine boy.
Here's a lady named Cheryl. She's from Arlington, Virginia.
Yes.
And please... Take a look at that photo. Take a look at those breasts, huh?
I applaud those breasts.
Right?
I applaud those.
She's big.
What does she have in her hand?
It looks like a dog whip, maybe.
Is that a riding crop, perhaps?
Yeah, she's wearing like a Billy Idol leather vest.
Looks like she's maybe into that domination stuff. Seem to be some toys. On the wall in back of her, too.
A couple of big toys on her chest, also.
Take a look at that.
Those are ugly.
That's a finalist right
but
there.
But wait, mm-hmm. Now, the other entry that I've selected.
Better?
An entry of how bad it can be.
Okay.
Okay, how long ago did you have lunch?
Quite a while ago, actually. Very, very early. I actually only had breakfast this morning.
Okay. This woman has got the area around the areola.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Brace yourself.
Oh, God.
Okay?
Oh, God. All right. You really prepared me for this.
And I don't think that I'm overselling it.
Okay. Okay.
Oh. She sent more than one, Mike.
Oh,
hold
good.
On.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Take a look at this one. Take a look at that one. Oh, yeah.
Boy.
Oh,
my.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Wanda, baby. Her name is Wanda, and right now, she's the winner.
This is going away. Winner.
She's the winner.
It looks like, really, you're looking at a dip cone.
Oh.
It really
now,
does.
There was no letter that came with these photos. She was nice enough to put her name and her phone number on here, but no letter that came with to describe what this condition might be.
We're really not sure, but they are special. There is no... Oh.
Jeez.
There's no doubt about that.
Okay, these are the runaway winner right now, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. And I don't know how to describe them, except...
They look like they've been dipped in chocolate.
The areola area is very large.
Mm-hmm.
Very
and
large.
Really not exactly even.
And they don't look like they've been dipped in chocolate. They look like they've been dipped in poop.
Yeah.
Is what they... Well, I guess, you know, chocolate kind of looks like
they're
poop.
Dark. They're very... I've never seen anything like it. And there do I.
What do you think, huh?
Wow.
Lousy,
woozy. Boy, though, talk about two fantastic contestants.
Okay, so ladies, if you're not happy with your breasts, we're having a contest to find the ugliest breasts.
Right.
Cash prizes, all the ladies get fancy lingerie and bustiers and stuff.
Sure.
Please, again, send your photos to Don and Mike Ugly Breast Contest. P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007.
Fantastic. And boy, that last one. I'll tell you, that's a tough woman to beat right there.
And, you know, I've never been a proponent of getting a website for the show because I think websites are so vastly overrated.
Right. Yes.
But this might be the one thing that leads me to get a website.
I'd love to post these on the Internet.
That would be something special.
You know, we'd get quite a few hits on our site if we posted these.
Oh. Okay,
so thank you, Wanda. Thank you, Shell. And thank you to all the other ladies.
None of them were in the class of those two girls.
Not at all.
And we appreciate their participation.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Welcome back, Mike.
Oh, it's so good.
Between the meeting with Ken, I'm back.
Yeah,
I am back. I feel like I've been here for a month.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was listening to your pre-recorded show yesterday. You talk about the holidays and all.
I don't know. Were we?
Hello?
I say, I don't know, were we? I didn't catch that show yesterday, man.
Anyway, it reminded me of something. You know why fathers carry pictures of the family?
Hold on, is this a joke?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Let me get the crickets ready. If you want to tell us a joke, the drill on this show is that you have to first give us your telephone number, and we have to call you back. And then
to verify your number,
we'll let you tell the joke. And if the joke sucks, we give out your phone number, and everybody calls you and tells you the joke sucks.
Okay.
So that's the deal you have to make. So you have to put up some collateral. Your collateral, you know, if we allow you to tell this joke, is your phone number.
Okay.
And then everyone will have it because we will broadcast your phone number.
We're sure about our material.
Mm-hmm.
Our material is grade A.
But I don't want harassment by unruly people.
Well, I mean, if you don't, then you have to. You have to stand on the merits of the joke or not.
Okay.
All right, so you're going to quit?
Yeah, I'm going to quit.
All right, good man.
Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Some of the jokesters, that's what they're called, the jokesters.
they really don't show that good judgment, and they're confident with their joke.
You got to nip it.
Nip it in the bud.
It works. And last week, when we were on vacation, my son had a joke book.
Oh.
It was like doing this show every day that he would constantly read me jokes, and he'd always say to me, Dad, is that a cricket joke? Dad, do I get the crickets?
They're like, any joke that's in a book is like an electric weenie joke.
Right, the worst.
Right.
The absolute worst. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Bobby.
Yeah, this is, I'm calling from Augusta.
Augusta, Georgia, right, yes.
Yeah, I heard y'all, you were on a radio station in D.C. that you got sort of canceled, and they changed the format to a gospel.
Oh, that's many years ago.
That was the last time I heard you, and I went overseas and went to Germany, got out of the military, retired, and now you're back in Augusta. I want to say welcome.
All right, we're coming in loud and clear down there?
You sure are. Last time, I picked you up once on the AM station a long time ago, and that was it.
Yeah, well, now we're proud to be on WCheese.
Yay! Yeah, that's a great station. This is changing the whole format around here. This is really coming in good now.
I'm sure after we've been on for a couple of weeks, we'll change the format again. That's how it normally goes.
Sure. I don't think so. I hope not.
All right.
There's some variety around here.
Thank you for the call, my friend.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Very excited to be on once again in Augusta. You know that? Mm-hmm. We affiliates come, affiliates go, and sometimes we're on in a city that we just desperately want to get back on. And I think that Don and I, over the last probably 5 years, have just said, please, God, get us back on in Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, who cares if the company clears us in New York, L.A., or Chicago?
Yeah, just Augusta, Georgia. You make sure that's priority number one.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What am I doing here?
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, how do you get to talk to Don and Mike?
Well, it's a very intricate process.
Practice, baby. Can I walk you through it?
Yeah.
Okay. First off, what would you like to talk to Don and Mike about?
Oh, he might have gone on.
He stumbled onto our secret.
Hey. Hasn't he?
Ah.
What's up, buddy?
Sometimes that ADD actually comes in handy when he drifts off and he hears himself on the radio.
Yes, what?
Hey, buddy.
What, my dullard friend?
How's it going?
Oh, Christ. Turn down your radio, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first idiot since we're back.
Hey, I'm an idiot. Yeah.
Big idiot.
Yes. I'm an idiot.
Yes. What do you want, idiot?
Hey, I'd like to tell a joke.
No, absolutely not. Sorry. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike?
Yeah.
How's it going?
I'm ready for vacation again. I know I just said that I was anxious to come back, but I'm already ready for it again. Yes, hello.
Yeah, speaking of vacation, I just want to invite you to, I got some friends that's going to Cancun, Mexico.
And we want to invite you to come along with us.
No, I was just in Mexico. You can keep Mexico.
Oh, come on.
Christ, what a dirty, ugly country Mexico is.
We should put the wall up. I tell you, put the wall up. How many times I got to say that? And you know what the number one car is in Mexico? Do you know that they still make the Volkswagen Beetle, not the new modern Beetle?
The old one?
The old one? When we got off the boat, I guess it was in Cozumel, in Mexico. We went to Cozumel. We also went to Cancun.
Well, we got now, off. Remember, you're in a very touristy part of Mexico, so that should be the best part of Mexico.
Well, I'd hate to see the bad part of Mexico if we got off in the good part of Mexico. I guess it was nice.
Señorita, and the tequila is so fine.
Yeah, I guess it was nice if you like all your buildings done in stucco and day glow pink.
Very good.
The chihuahuas run wild with the hope.
So we get off the boat, and it's like we immediately see a thousand VW Beetles, right? I mean, everywhere you look, they got the VW.
Along with the Mexican girls in the striped bikini.
Oh, please. So finally, I said to one of the guys that we were with, I said, why are there so many Volkswagens? And they said, they still manufacture them for Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like those poor people, they got to have the... You know, the cars are 30 years old, and they're still making the old models and selling them as new in Mexico. And all these guys have souped-up ones, like with the top cut off. And,
cool.
And they have the kind, you know when you go to a stoplight and guys got the cars that go up and down?
Yeah, rock up and down.
They bounce up and down. There are guys in Volkswagens pulling up next to each other at a stoplight, like drag racing. And the cars are bouncing up and down and stuff.
Oh, I want me one of those. I really do.
Go to Mexico, buddy.
Go to Mexico. So you enjoyed the country.
Oh.
Please get me back to the boat.
What a dirty country that is. I was constantly having to scream at Bart, don't touch it, don't drink it, don't eat it. Let's go back to the boat where it's safe.
Well, who takes all the other tourists on the boat? Where it's safe, where we can drink the water.
Right. Oh, listen, before we talk about vacation, and we do got some vacation stuff to talk about, last night, Robbie, I can't believe I forgot this. Get me numbers in Kosovo. I got to call Kosovo. I got to straighten that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, well, I think it happened while you were out of town because, you know, the powers that be just didn't want you to interfere. But now
things have gotten a little out of hand.
Now it's on my watch.
That's right.
And I'm ready. Yes, Robbie.
I've boycotted the war. What country is Kosovo in?
Kosovo is in Kosovo.
And that is the country.
By Yugoslavia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, the whole
Serbia.
The reason they're fighting is because everything's all messed up over there.
Right. Okay, so it's called Kosovo, though.
Yeah, well, actually, you might want to call
it
Belgrade.
Kokomo. Kokomo, great.
You know, the Beach Boys sang
good
about
song.
It. You want to call, he's going to want to call Belgrade because that's where the enemy is. And he wants to talk to the enemy.
Sure do. Yugoslavia?
Yes.
Okay. And give me a copy of Kokomo because I feel a great parody song coming on. Way down in Kosovo.
You know, you leave town for just a little while, look what happens. The world explodes.
Fortunately, on the cruise ship we were on,
yes.
My wife hated this. They had TV.
Oh, my God.
They had TV, and you got CNN and ESPN.
And you had secure communications with the NATO alliance, so you were able
to monitor
the situation.
I could have, except there was $9 to make a phone call.
And they're not good phone calls. You know, anytime you're calling from a ship, it's always like...
I wouldn't know because I wasn't allowed to because it was so expensive. But every day, we'd go up and we'd have breakfast up on deck, and then I'd want to come back down and watch the briefings about the war. My wife was like, I can't believe this. We're on vacation, and you want to sit in the room and watch about a war. I said, honey, but they got, you know, the smart bombs going off, and they got those English dudes with their ascots going, Kenny, here's a picture of one of our tonight's where bombs going up. Boom! Look at that!
It's very frustrating for Freya being married to a super patriot.
Mm-hmm.
Very frustrating that, you know, you have to keep up on the situation.
Not easy. And, of course, I was screaming, send in the ground troops.
Send in the ground troops.
Send in the ground troops. Don't worry, they're here. There's another great parody song. I'm loaded with parody songs. All right, hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Hey, my radio gods.
Hi there.
Hey, is it too old the news to talk about the Oscars?
Hey.
Yes, I think so. I think it's officially too old, right?
Too old. Did you see Robert De Niro's Three Stooges haircut?
Oh. Robert De Niro's retarded haircut.
Or no. Natasha, right?
He's doing the Bullwinkle movie.
Yes, he's being the evil leader, and his haircut was like somebody put a bowl on his head and cut around
it.
It
was your turn off.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was a yawn. The Oscars were a yawn this year, really. I mean, just I think the movies and everything else is kind of boring.
Yeah.
You know, and Roberto Benigni, you know, the thing about him, and I read this somewhere, that it went from being kind of cute because he's, like, new to the country to being shtick, where now he's expected to do this stuff, and that's exactly what happened.
That was, I believe, one of our first big arguments that we had on the show, was about that guy. That we were watching the highlights on CNN of him coming up and winning his award, and when he got, he said, oh, you have to forgive me. I used up all my English already. I said to my wife,
you get the impression he goes in the background and says, man, that was a tough award show.
Oh, the camera's here.
Hello!
I said, oh, screw that. I said, I hate that guy. Right away, my wife was like, oh, you don't appreciate anything that's art. You know, like anybody that's not American. And then we tumbled off into a huge argument. I mean, that was just the starting point. I only had one real bad day on vacation.
It's tough, I would imagine, when you have that kind of, confinement, when you're on a boat, there's not, even though it's a big boat, there's a lot of togetherness.
Yeah, and especially because we went with our neighbors. And they had kids, so Bart would go off and be with their kids, which meant it was just freedom, me almost all the time.
Very good togetherness, good to make a marriage stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it brought our relationship to a new level, Mike. A new level to where I think by Monday afternoon we were both just screaming at each other.
Oh, God.
But it was okay. By Tuesday, things cooled down a little bit.
Well, that's good if it ended better than it began.
But listen, before we get to any of the vacation stuff, we call Kosovo or anything else. Last night, we got back from the trip. We're sitting around. We're chilling out. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about what we're going to be doing. Tomorrow's my son's birthday.
Right.
14th birthday. You know, anniversary of the greatest day of my life. We're sitting around thinking about his birthday, and all of a sudden we hear from somewhere in the house. So the three of us start running around trying to figure out, did we not turn off the alarm when we came into the house? Mm-hmm. Is there a smoke alarm on or something? We go upstairs, and Bart says, Dad, it's your beeper. And I go, well, who would possibly beep me? And I go, and it says, car chase.
Uh-huh.
Right? My car chase beeper.
Your car chase beeper that you got, was it over the internet you got?
Yeah.
There?
So I go down and I turn on the DSS. Damn it, but isn't there a great car chase? So what do I do first thing? I think, who's my buddy?
Right.
Who's my pal? Who haven't I talked to for a week? Right. First thing I do, I call Mike. I go, Mike.
I was so proud.
I go, Mike, turn on your TV. And he goes, I've already got it on.
I was so proud because it was pure luck on my part, and the phone rang, and I knew immediately who it was on the other end. And incidentally, that was luck on my part, and I want that consideration the next time it happens, because I happened to just say, you know, I'll take a look at the West Coast, and there was the suspect. Apparently, it had been going on for
35 minutes. And this car chase that went through Southern California was a guy in a Cherokee, a black Cherokee,
right?
This guy would go 50 miles an hour, then he would go 10 miles an hour.
He knew that the LAPD. That the policy was to give him plenty of distance, and so he was kind of, he really wasn't in any urgent sense trying to get away. He was just kind of driving different speeds.
He would get up to a stop sign. He would stop and look both ways.
Right.
He would turn on his turn signal to indicate where he was going.
At one point, he had his flashers on. At one point, he tried to pick up a woman and a baby that was obviously a friend of his or his wife or something like that, and then he told her to go away. It was just the strangest thing I've ever seen.
And then he pulled in, like, to a self-storage area, mm-hmm. and they thought, the guys up in the helicopter said, this guy is going to be trapped now because he's pulled into an area where there's no way out. He's pulled into an area where he just backs up on all of these storage containers.
He's gone into a dead-end parking lot now, and this is where the chase ought to end, and you expect it's going to end.
It's like Keystone Cops, because you see the guy's car come in, and then you see after him all the road, like 20 black and white police cars coming after this guy. This guy pulls into this big, giant cul-de-sac, and all he does is turn around.
And he goes right back out.
Driving the other way.
And I said to myself, what the hell are they doing?
All the cops are just following him. And they're following him in the same circle. Did you see earlier when the guy, he's driving down like Santa Monica Boulevard. And he's in the middle of a four-lane road. And he just started driving in a circle.
And they're all following him. And then they get a little, as soon as he went into the second circle, they get a little confused, and they're turning their cars like to the left. And apparently, you know, the guy in the helicopter, the reporter says, this was done. They don't have a contingency for the guy going in a circle.
So I'm going to laugh with my ass off watching this, talking to Mike on the phone at the same time. And so the guy gets out of this dead-end street, right?
And this is when I said, I can't believe they let him go. Because, I mean, you never know. Yeah, they try to contain it and stop the guy in an area where there aren't people, but obviously, I think because a handgun might have been used in this, they wanted to keep their distance.
So the guy's back on the road, and he, again, turns into one of these warehouse areas where there is no way out, and they follow him all the way around.
This is when he screws up. This is when the driver of the vehicle screwed up.
Now, the cops finally wise up, and they park the car sideways by the road that goes outside. There was a gate.
And it's just a little tube where he's coming down, like, between two warehouses.
Right.
And there's nowhere for him to go.
It was like the French Connection. Because this guy is driving down a very narrow street, and you see that there's a gate in front of him. They go, oh, he's going to crash the gate. Then they had a police car going sideways in front of the gate, so he just slammed into the police car.
And he didn't know whether there were officers in the car or not, and apparently they had gotten out and left their car there, and he just rammed this thing, and then they descended upon him. And then the skilled remote operator tells me, I'm watching, I think, Channel 4 out of Los Angeles.
KNBC.
And they immediately pull away. They pull away, and I'm like, you caught the guy. Let me see what's going to happen.
Well, KABC. They stayed with it.
Yeah, you see, and apparently the guy was in pretty rough shape when they got him out of the car.
Yeah, he was all bloodied and stuff, but he was still putting up a fight when he got out of the car. He's like, they were having to hog tie him and stuff.
Very, very interesting car chase. And that beeper, you know, that beeper is a product that delivers what it advertises.
Works great. The only problem is I missed the first 5 minutes of the Duke game last night because we were watching the end of the car chase.
That's right. I'd like to congratulate the UConn Huskies on their big victory from my home state. I was very happy to see the upset. Nobody expected UConn to win that game.
Duke.
Take a Duke.
Have a nice, big Duke.
Hey, Duke.
Hey, Duke. You suck. You're the worst. Duke.
Duke. Hey, Duke.
Duke. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm on the big screen TV, and I just wanted to tell you that it was delivered yesterday, and it's really nice.
Hold on. Let me just get my bearings here. You won a prize from our show.
Yes.
And you actually received it.
Yes. But the guy comes in a big 14-wheeler truck, and I asked him to call me the day before, and they didn't. And he says, well, I'm just here to deliver it. You have to get it off the truck and take it in the house.
That's the dynamite.
And I was here all by myself, and luckily it was like quarter till 5, so my husband was going to be home at 5.
Yeah, but that's still a big item to get off a truck.
Yeah, I had to run, and it didn't even have a ramp on it. The truck didn't.
We care.
There I was thinking that we'd done everything right. I was glad to hear that still, even when we do something right, we still manage to muck it up.
Because I ran in here, and I called a friend of ours who's really strong, and he came down and helped, and so we got it all in okay. But the delivery guy did end up helping us get it in the house.
I know what the problem is. Charlie was on vacation last week. He normally carries that in himself.
On his back. Well, glad you won a prize from us, and you actually received it.
Yes, and it's very nice.
Thank you.
On his shoulder now.
Bye-bye. I'm down on my show, on his left bicep.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hello, we're doing great, thank you.
Good. What is and how do I get a car chase beeper?
That's a good question. Do you remember how you got yours?
No, I don't. There's a website. You know, I'll look it up and bring it in tomorrow. There's a website that you go to, and you pay 99 cents, and they just hook you up to whatever beeper you have.
That's good.
And then whenever there's a good car chase on one of the TV stations, they call you up. You get a page for it.
It is so exciting to see that. I mean, it really... The difference between watching cops and watching something like that is the live aspect. I mean, you're actually seeing it happen, and that makes it a little more tense.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Baldy.
Hey, Baldy. How are you?
Baldy.
Good. Hey, I wanted to wish Bud a happy birthday because I have a coincidence here. I have a one-year-old daughter who turns one tomorrow, and my wife is actually in the hospital right now getting ready to give birth to our second child. So,
well, for goodness sakes, get down there with a cell phone and call us. We love broadcasting live births on this show.
Well, I tell you, I'm actually just pulling into the lot now, so I'll go see how she's doing, and maybe I'll give you a call back.
She's getting ready to have the baby, like, today?
Well, she's been in the hospital for quite a while, and they took her off medication that stopped her from going into contractions.
Okay, so it's a high-risk pregnancy deal that she's been in the hospital for a while?
Yeah, she's been in there 4 weeks now, but they're ready to let it go, so...
Either high-risk or she's very lazy.
Well, she got in bed for 4 weeks, so I could never do that with her, so... But I just wanted to let you know that could possibly have two children that share the same birthday as Mr. Bart.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, my second kid was born. I did not have that level of calmness right there. Yeah, she's been in the hospital for 4 weeks, and, listen.
Hey, Don, Mike.
How you doing?
Look, maybe I give you a call, huh?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, actually this question's for Buzz. Buzz, did you see not just yesterday, but last Monday's King of Queens?
I think I did. I'm not sure because of the drugs. Buzz has been heavily medicated.
Was it a rerun or one that we'd seen before, perhaps?
I don't know. I've never seen it. I've seen almost every episode. But
ladies and gentlemen, we're listening to a new segment on the Don and Mike Show. It's the segment we call I Don't Know.
Don and Mike Show, last call. Hello.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Hey, this is John. You remember me, the Russian-speaking fool who called when you guys called the duck? The hungry duck that time?
Absolutely not. No. John.
Well.
John, how are you?
Remember, the hungry duck has closed, my friend.
What is the hungry duck, my friend?
Remember the strip club in Russia that you call?
And you didn't know what it was either.
I don't know. Part two.
Oh, touche, bud. Hey, they must have given you some funny pills when you were in the hospital.
All right. No, I do remember. Remember we called the strip club in Moscow?
Right.
About 6 months ago?
I don't know.
And they closed it?
They closed it.
Okay,
thank you.
Hey,
what?
They're gonna open up again. They're gonna call it the Swinging Frog.
Ah, those Russians, they have the sexy. Why don't they just call it Bada Bing?
Those pinky Russians. Oh, like the Sopranos.
Right.
Good Sopranos on Sunday night, incidentally.
Yeah, it's getting a
real good one.
Getting really revved up for, I guess, the season finale this coming Sunday.
Pretty
right?
Weird one, man.
Very like, weird.
Tony Soprano taking lithium and everything.
Yeah, and seeing the, the vision of the Italian woman.
She hot.
Oh man, I was hoping there was going to be a little more.
Me too. I thought you'd take that dress off.
I know.
Listen, there you toe tap and touchstones. I just heard them, and there they are again. Good luck to you. Let's start this week off with caller number 100, and we hope it's you. Good luck. Our phone number is still 1-800-636-1067. Do a call in to win, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, I'm Solicitor David Burrow. Homosexuality, does it exist in the animal kingdom? Are there single-sex watering holes? Are there packs of wildebeest cruising the Nairobi in search of a chance sexual encounter? Do animal rights extend into the bedroom? Join me as we watch endless footage of animals sniffing each other's butts on the next National Pornographic Explorer.
Come, suckle the comedy teeth of the Don and Mike Show.
Well, thank you, Dude Walker. Right here, and time for a caller 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
A caller 100?
I don't know.
Yes, I am.
Good, very assertive. And who is this, please?
Jason from Fairfax.
Jason, caller 100, my friend. Listening on good old JFK FM. You've won ringside seats to see the WCW Battle of the Wrestling Idiots, Icons. The Hollywood Hulk Hogan take on Nature Boy Ric Flair, and Sting take on Bret the Hitman Hart, plus Goldberg! And many other wrestlers as they rock the Patriot Center April 2nd. Ringside tickets, and you have won them.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Hold the line, please. That's okay. How excited winners get on this show.
Hey, I mean, how often do you get ringside to see Goldberg and Nature Boy? That's big time.
For all you people listening in Augusta, Georgia for the first time to a live show, that is the thrill that is an instant winner on the Don and Mike Show.
I was at the cell phone place the other day and got into a discussion about wrestling, and the guys were telling me that I should tune on, is it TNT Raw, where they have some of the wrestling that
that's
they
one,
do?
Yeah.
They said that
one CBS,
of the,
too.
And one of the things, that the reasons they watch it is because now, apparently, there are a lot more scantily clad women that are involved in the presentation.
That's true. Had lots of Don and Mike 316 signs in the crowd.
There you go.
God bless you, WCW fans. A cash call, we got an amount. Let me give it to you now so everybody's up to date on this. Current cash call total is $249.
There it is. There it is.
It's not your wallet, Mike. Your Buzz has it on his fancy little card.
Yeah.
$249. Current cash call amount. Gonna make it out right now, Mike?
Yeah, I'm gonna write it down and put it back in my wallet.
$249. Make it out the cash.
I was at Disney World, okay? I went to my wallet quite a bit.
I'll bet. Oh.
Boo.
Yeah. Why didn't you go to that Universal?
Yeah.
I did.
I had a better time there, too.
Uh-huh.
Much better. I mean, and I'm not saying that because we hate Disney. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that because it was just a lot better. It's a lot smarter.
Did you go on the Spider-Man ride?
No. No, I didn't go on any rides.
Really?
I didn't go on any rides anywhere.
Oh, I
went
forgot.
To theme parks. I didn't go on any rides.
I forgot you.
I went to the Barney show at Universal Studios.
I love that.
I went to the Barney show. It was... He was terrific. And so was Fievel's Playground. And so was E.T. after waiting 45 minutes in line only to have my 3.5-year-old say, I'm scared. You don't keep a kid on a ride when she says she's scared.
True.
So when they start the movie, which is the pre-show thing, then I said, well, okay, we'll go. And, you know, we'll go, and then you have to find the exit in the dark room, and you're bumping into people and stuff like that.
Is that when you went to play golf then?
It was that was the second day. Yeah, the day after I got to go play golf.
I thought of you on our vacation. I'll tell you why. I thought of you the day that we left.
Oh, really?
Robbie, I need the plane sound effects, please.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, boy. Now, I
did
tell
you have an occurrence?
And I want to tell you, no offense to you, mister, I'm afraid to fly.
Yes.
It was no big deal, but, Mike, we had an aborted landing.
Oh, really?
And I will tell you that on the plane that we were on, there was about 100 Mike O'Maras on this plane.
Uh-huh.
It was like, you know that movie Airplane, when everybody starts screaming and putting their hands in the air?
Ah!
Here's the deal. The guy gets on and he said, we're flying into Fort Lauderdale. Guy gets on and says, we're going to begin our descent into Fort Lauderdale now.
Right.
You know, put on your seatbelts, blah, blah, blah. And we're heading down. And what turns out is very much like in that movie Air Force One,
mm-hmm.
where the president's plane is coming down, they're going to land and they have to go back up again.
Right.
So we're going down. We hear the landing gear go,
sure.
And the little wheels are out.
Right.
And just as it feels like we're about to hit the ground, all of a sudden, we go back up and we fly away.
That is scary. At that point, I'm on the ceiling. You know, I'm stuck on the ceiling just going, help me!
Like I said, about 100 people on the airplane.
Like me?
Like you. Were
right.
Flipped out.
You actually experienced an aborted landing with me one time.
Don't even
remember. When I really was, I was very, very wrapped.
National.
Well, I was just looking around at all the people.
TWA, wasn't it? Yes,
I was looking around at all the people just going, why are they getting so crazy? Because we were going back up, and it was obvious that we were just going to make a big turnaround and come back again. I said the wrong thing to the guy that was in the aisle next to me.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that was in the aisle next to me reminded me of you, and here's why.
Okay.
Whenever anybody on the plane said anything, he took whatever they said as gospel when they talked about the plane. You know how sometimes you get nervous when you fly?
Right.
Somebody tells you something, you go, yeah, right, and you believe whatever they say?
Right. Especially when they say we're going to die.
Guy says, well, what happened? What's going on? What happened? And I turned him. I was sitting at the next aisle over. I turned and I said, he missed the runway. I couldn't find a runway. We're going to
go. And I got to say something about him. He doesn't care and he doesn't know. And you're saying that just to say, we missed the runway. You know no more about that. You
of course I don't.
Freak this guy.
I have no idea.
But in fairness to you, you were probably saying it to kind of reassure the guy. Well, that's like the worst thing you can say to a foaming flyer.
We missed the runway. We're going to go back and try to hit it again. And right away, the guy
hit it again. That's a good one.
And the guy just realized, we missed the runway. And then I immediately hear it going all over the plane. We missed the runway.
You've created a panic.
We missed the runway. And I turned to Freedom Bar right away. I said, look at this. We got a plane load of Uncle Mike's with us. Look at all these people. And then the captain gets out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we were cleared for landing, but one of the planes in front of us would not get out of the way, so we're going to come back around and take another shot at it.
Man, and so was there any weather or anything like that?
No, it was totally sunny. But then the second time we're coming around,
right.
Okay? Again, same thing. He goes down again. Landing gear comes up. We get going. We're coming down again. Boom! Back up again.
Oh my God! I'd be out of my mind. I'd be mad. I'd be totally freaking out.
There were a lot of people that were freaked out, like getting out of their seats and turning around, going, "What's going on? What's happening? What's that?" And stewardess is coming down, going, "Everybody, stay in your seat. Stay in your seat." Meanwhile, the plane's going back up again. It gets back on again.
Folks, that plane is still on our runway. We're going to circle around.
And why do they tell you stuff that you have no idea what they're going
to... Well, I love that, though. I love
we were supposed to go on runway 4A, but there's still a DC-10 there. So we're going to turn around 30 degrees to the north, and we're going to be taking it on runway 7D. 7D, everybody.
You know, like I know the difference between runway 4 and runway 7.
Oh, I like that. Even though they're probably lying anyway, because it's probably another reason that they got the gear down. But I like to hear that. I like the chatty pilot who's going to tell me... Because it's reassuring. It gives me some feeling that I am aware of what's going on. Listen to me. I'm on that plane. I'm on that plane right now. He could care less, but I am on that plane right now.
I felt very safe.
Were they,
safe
in a plane. Were they, you know, pouring the hooch for people when this happened? I mean,
people had been drinking up to that point. I mean, no, they didn't come back with a beverage cart after the aborted takeoff.
See, that's when I insist on that. I said, you know, I realize safety measures require you to put the beverage cart, but I want it out now.
So the plane goes down twice and up again. And then we finally go down the third time.
I'd be nuts. I would be out of my mind.
This time the plane goes down, and immediately everybody's, yay! Everybody's clapping like, you know, thank God our lives have been saved. And then he gets on and he says,
well, ladies and gentlemen, please inconvenience me. We're supposed to be on runway 4. We're now on runway 17. Instead of landing at gate number 31, we're going to be landing at gate number 87.
And then you see the real panic. Okay. Where people would like connecting flights and stuff.
True.
And the stewardess comes out with a big map of the airport. She says, okay, we were going to be here. Okay, and if you were connecting to go to, I don't know, to go to Key West or wherever, your gate would have been here.
Right.
Now your gate is all the way over here.
Whoopee!
On the side of the airport. That's when people started getting mad. I bet it was the big rush to get off the airplane.
Yeah, because when you go through something like that, you don't even want to be anywhere near the plane.
Okay, right? Now, I was a little manic myself. You know, I like being the first guy on the airplane. I always do. So we're waiting for our row to be called. And we were in row number 12, I think. We had three seats, row number 12, right? Not first class, incidentally, because, you know, it wasn't a station-paid event, so we were flying coach like everybody else.
Right.
So we're waiting to board the plane. I was standing right up there first, waiting for them to open the door, waiting to get on the plane. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they say, of course, you know, if you're in a wheelchair, you got little kids, board the plane now.
Right.
If you're in first class, board the plane now. I'm still standing up. My family's still sitting back on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, come on, get up. We're going to be next. We're going to be next. Because
right.
I'm positive they're going to fill the plane up from front to back.
No.
They do it. We can do row 50 through row 35.
So they always do it.
I'm standing around just waiting. Going, okay. Then I swear to God, it was 35 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, just to piss me off, keep in mind we're in row 12. And she goes, 25 to 20. So now I'm saying to Freedom Bart, get up. We're going to be next on. Get up. We're going to do 20 to 15. So for sure, we're on the next one. Come on. And we start to walk, and she goes, 15 through 13. It's killing me. It's just killing me. Finally.
You should know that, but you don't pay attention. See, I pay attention to all that. I'm a phobic flyer, but I know all the rules. I know how everything works. Mm-hmm.
Finally, she says 12 and above, and at this point, I'm just running to get on the airplane.
Right.
And she's like, why are you like this? We're on vacation. I said, you know why? Because I want the overhead bin. Because there's all these people. Nobody follows the rules and takes just one carry-on. Mm-hmm. You got people with five goddamn bags on their back walking in there. And I know, and I called it correctly. We get in there, and all the pigs in the back of the plane, they've loaded all their stuff in the overhead bins.
Right.
So that there's, like, no overhead bins left.
Mm-hmm.
So we got on the plane, and I said, well, I'm going to take care of this. I said, just put your bag under your chair.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, honey, we paid for this seat. We got that bin. So I took the bag out. And I said, excuse me, whose bag is this? Like, nobody raises their hand, right? I said, excuse me, whose bag is this?
My God.
Some guy in the back goes, that's mine. I said, okay, row 20, this is row 12. He said, well, there's no space back here. I said, well, where am I supposed to put my bag? He said, put your bag up ahead. I said, what about the people that are sitting up ahead? Right? Eventually, somebody's going to have to check in the bag.
You're blazing a new trail there. You know, you're blazing a new trail in the flight etiquette thing. You know?
Confrontation.
It's like everybody does that. You know, I mean, not that I don't see your point, but everybody, you know, see, if yours is full, you go one up, and then the guy that's screwed is the guy in row one.
Right, well.
But he's got the bulkhead, so that's okay.
Well, I wanted my bag by my seat, because if I want anything by my bag, I want to just be able to stand up and get it.
Exactly.
So at this point, like, my wife is giving me the old elbow, you know, going, stop it. Embarrassing me, stop it. I said, honey, this is all right. The stewardess comes by. She says, what's the problem? I said, hi.
The stewardess comes by like the manager at All American Burgers.
Is there a problem here? She says, can I help you? Because at this point, people are still like trying to walk on a plane and stuff, and I'm standing in the aisle. She said, what's the problem? Will your bag not fit in the overhead bin? I said, my bag would fit in the overhead bin if these people hadn't taken my spot.
Right.
Seat 12, row 12, my bin of things, and I'm waving my hands around.
And that's never happened before.
And then she's,
okay, it happens all the time.
And she says to me, why don't you just take your bag and put it in one of the bins up there in row 8, 7, 6, right? And I said, okay, I'll do that. But what happens then when those people come and those bins are full? She said, we'll have to check those bags.
Right.
And I said, oh. Okay, fine. So I walk up to 7, and like everybody on the plane is looking at me the evil eye like I'm the biggest jerk of all time. So I walk up by aisle 7, and I put my bag in. People are getting on the plane. I'm saying to them, hey, beware, you're going to have to check your bags. I said, it's not my fault that I'm putting my bag in. I'm in row 12, and I'm putting my bag in over 7 because people back at 20 put their bags. So I said, just beware, you're going to have to check your bag.
And all this is basically because they boarded the plane from the back of the front. The wrong way.
If I could have just gotten on the plane the right way, I would have been able to put my bag in over my seat. I would not have a problem
next
with
time
it.
You get row 50.
Oh. And then the only good thing about it was that I thought when the plane landed, after the two aborted landed, we finally landed, I thought, well, we'll be early off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is because we landed at a different gate and all these people are connecting flights, people were like cattle getting off the plane. Whereas before it even went beep boop, mm-hmm. where it's safe to stand up,
mm-hmm.
people were already jamming their way up the aisle.
That's when the flight attendants, some of them go nuts. Yeah. That's when they the little power that they give them, that's when they exercise it.
So what I did was, I see people start to stampede down the aisle. Mm-hmm. Well, I just took the seatbelt off, kind of straddled my leg out in the aisle. Frida said, what are you doing? I said, but nobody's getting by us. I said, those people in the back of the plane, they got to wait. She said, just sit down. We've got nowhere to go. I said, now I'm yelling at my family. Go, get up. Come on, get off the plane. And both Frida and Bart are taking great delight in this. They said, no. We're just going to sit here and wait until the plane empties. We have nowhere to go. We got nothing to do.
Take your time. Relax.
But I'm like half, my ass is on the thing to put your elbows on.
Right. What you're doing is the same thing like on a traffic jam. You're doing the same thing when people nudge out into the the emergency lane, when people are driving by in the emergency lane.
Yeah.
You're doing the same thing.
So the plane's doors finally open and people start coming through and I'm marking my space there.
Right.
So then I got mad at my family. I said, well, fine. That's fine. I'm going to get my bag and get off the plane and I guess I'll see you out there, okay? And they said, okay, fine. So I go, okay, I walk up to row 7, I get my bag, put it on my arm, I walk off the plane, and then I get everybody coming off the plane, the hairy eyeballs. All of them coming off the plane, instead of my arms folded.
That'll show it. Meanly looking at
them. Yeah, just giving them a real hairy eyeball, you effers. Oh, excuse me, I owe you a dollar.
Not Easter.
Because it's not rent yet.
Not
Easter Sunday yet.
What time did your flight leave?
I don't know. See, he doesn't know. He doesn't know that thing. You know,
well, was it morning, afternoon?
8:15, so my dad.
Early in the morning.
Yeah, we got there about 11:15.
Oh, okay, all right.
So it wasn't a problem. I mean, the only problem I had, that was waiting for my family. Last ones off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they're on vacation.
Of course. You're calmer when you travel with me, because you got me to laugh at during the entire time, because you're just watching me slowly drift away.
So then the whole way, then my family was driving me crazy, because the whole time off the plane, then the whole way to go get the bags and all that stuff, they're just busting my balls the whole time. I'm like, why are you in such a hurry? So will you just knock it off, just shut up. I said, I like being first on the plane, I like being first off the plane.
Right.
And so Mom and I made a pact that we're not going to get mad. This is my son's. Mom and I made a pact that nothing's going to upset us at all on this trip.
Okay.
I said, well, that's fine. Well, the two of you, that should be very happy.
They weren't involved in that pact.
No, it was just a pact between my son and my wife. And they're like, we're walking through the airport, but they're walking in front of me, and they're like happily going, we didn't mind waiting on the airplane. We're on vacation. That doesn't bother you, does it, Bart? No, that doesn't bother me at all.
Oh, that's got to suck.
And,
that's got to suck. They're double-teaming you.
I'm like walking 5 paces behind. And like, all I want to do is get off the plane. I just want to get off the goddamn plane. I just want to have a nice vacation.
You want to free yourself of people is what you want to do. I mean, you want to free yourself of the traveling people.
So we
the mean, nasty traveling people.
We got our bags. We got them up here. The whole way, the whole car ride to the pier where the boat's going to take off, I'm still getting this, get that double barrels from both of them, like nonstop.
You still want to be there first.
As soon as we got to the pier, I said, there's going to be a cluster F.
Mm-hmm.
I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's going to be no way. Look at all these people. There's 2,000 people waiting to get on this boat.
Right.
Well, I said, why don't you just go sit on the other side of the auditorium if you're going to have this attitude? He said, hey, I don't have an attitude. I'm just telling you. It's 11:45. They're not going to let us on the boat until 2 o'clock. We're going to have 2.5 hours of sitting here smelling other people's cheese. As it turns out, we walked into the pier. We were on the boat in 20 minutes.
There you go. And that had to put you in a great mood.
20 minutes.
Oh, it kind of didn't.
It took a while.
It kind of did. But then it mellowed out.
You got to wind down.
And I was able to mellow out.
And things were fine for 2 days.
2 days until you had to fight with your wife.
Yeah, things were fine for the first day on the boat. Because, you're at sea and, nothing bothers you. And
it's exciting. You're on vacation.
I'm away from everything. It's a huge ship. The ship held 2,000 people, had 1,000 crew members. Big, gigantic 14-story thing. So we're out at sea. Great time. First stop is Key West.
That's cool.
It's where my wife and I went on our honeymoon 18 years ago. So I'm thinking, things are perfect. Bart's playing with the neighbor's kids. It's like he's a little independent. He says, okay, I'm going to stay on the boat. I said, fine. Mommy and I are going to go into Key West.
buys ourselves a big straw hat, right? We go to a cigar shop. We spend all morning walking around. Things are great. Talking. We get back on the boat. And I'm really, because I'm a sucker, I'm thinking, you know what? This has now turned out to be a pretty good vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a pretty good time with my wife. It's just been the two of us. And as soon as we step foot back on the boat, she says, why don't we have anything in common?
Oh, no, that's an argument.
And I said, what do you mean? And she said, we only do what you want to do. I said, we only do what I want to do. We just walked around and shopped all day. She said, no, but we went to every cigar shop you wanted to go to. She said, I wanted to stop and go to, she wanted to go to all the touristy places, like the Jimmy Buffett shop. You know, with every hunyac off the boat has to go and buy a shirt. I love Jimmy Buffett. I
can't imagine why she doesn't enjoy going to a cigar store.
So we get back on the boat, and then she says, you know, you don't like to do anything that I like to do. I said, what do you mean I like to do everything you like to do? And she says, no. She had signed up to go horseback riding on one of these stops.
I almost said on the boat?
Not on the boat.
that would be, now there's a ship.
Actually, I take this back. This was on Tuesday, I guess. We'd already been to Key West. We'd done all this stuff, and I thought things were great. She got off the boat on Tuesday to go to do this horseback riding.
That must just chew up the deck, though. I thought it would have been.
So she went to go do this, and my son went to go snorkeling with some other kids. Mm-hmm. I stayed on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm up on the top ledge of the boat, and I'm looking over, and I see them walking off like little ants, and I wave them, bye, have a good time, and I'm really thinking things are fantastic. She gets back on the boat. Well, as it turns out, she had an awful time on the horseback riding trip because all of the other women had their husbands there.
Oh, God.
Right?
Oh,
so that's when she got back on the boat, and I'm totally zoned out thinking this is a fantastic trip.
That's the worst, isn't it, when you're on vacation and you're doing something that you're totally into and you're very happy, and you somehow project that happiness on the other person, the spouse, when it's not anything, that's not true at all.
See, I had thought that the day before, and because Bart had been with his friends for virtually this whole trip and just been free tonight the whole time, and I thought we're really getting along great, having a good time. She got back on the boat. That's what she said. I said, we have nothing in common. So, what do you mean? She said, I was the only person there that didn't have someone with him to go horseback riding. I said, well, I hate horseback riding. What are you talking about? She said, see, we don't do anything that I like to do. We do everything that you like to do. And then we're walking along the deck, and I said, you know, I must be the sap of all time. I said, you're a pisser, Frida. I swear to God, you're a pisser. Here I am thinking that things have never been better.
Right.
That we had a great romantic day yesterday, Key West. We go back to the spot we had our honeymoon. We're spending 24 effing hours a day together on this boat. You know, Bart wasn't even coming to dinner with us at night because it was a dress-up where you had to wear, like, a suit and tie every night, so he would go off with they had, like, a teen group. So it was just her and I the whole time. And when we were being seated for dinner, you know how normally you have to sit at a table with 20 other people?
Right.
We had a table for three.
Oh, really?
So we didn't even have to socialize with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and most times the table for three became a table for two because Bart would be off with his friends and stuff. So I said to her, you know, you're a pisser. We spent virtually the entire previous 48 hours together. I'm thinking that things are great, and now you got to come back and you got to tell me that we have nothing in common. I said, you're a pisser.
Because you didn't go on the horseback ride.
Right, because I didn't go on the horseback ride.
She said, now those horses had been smoking cigars, it would have been a different story. You could have maybe melded the two together. Or if they let you smoke a cigar on the horse, like Clint Eastwood.
So we go round and round about this whole thing where she's like, we have nothing in common. I said, but nobody has anything in common. What are you talking about? I said, I love you. You love me. We have a great time together. She said, we have a great time together because we always do what you want to do. I said, no, we don't. When you want to do what you want to do, you go do it. I said, you know, I told you, I came on the boat. You know what I want to do? I want to sit down. I want to be in the sun. I want to read a book. That's all I want to do. I didn't want to go see Cozumel. I didn't want to go look through the ghettos of Mexico. I didn't want to go horseback riding. I said, I signed up for a couple of excursions, and beyond that,
for the excursion, the Key West thing, right? You wanted to go.
Right, I went on that, and I also went, one day we went snorkeling.
That's good.
The Cayman Islands, and I went swimming with the dolphins.
That's cool.
Right, so I mean, I did some stuff. I said virtually all I wanted to do was sit in a chair, have the drink that's got the little umbrella in it. I brought like three books to read. I said, you knew this. I said, when did I lie to you about the way I am? I said, 18 years we've married, and now you figured out we don't have anything in common? I said, you're just a pisser. And she said, well, thanks. Thanks. You don't do anything out of it. So then, you know, it's like the rest of the whole day. I didn't know where she was. It didn't bother me. I just sat out there by myself.
But it got better later in the week.
Yes. By Wednesday, the storm clouds had passed.
That's good.
By Wednesday, it had passed, because Wednesday, we had a day of togetherness. And we all went snorkeling or whatever the hell we did.
You did what, you have that in common. You both enjoyed that.
Yeah, except that was ridiculous also. That you pull into the dock in the Cayman Islands there. And they put you on the lifeboats. You know, they got like 100 lifeboats on this boat.
Mm-hmm.
They can't pull the boat up to the dock.
Right.
They put you in the lifeboats, and then they take you from the lifeboats to the dock.
Mm-hmm.
Then from the dock, you get in a cab, and you go from the cab to go to the boat that's going to take you snorkeling. Then I realized all of this is taking space in less than a one-mile area.
Right. A lot of traveling for it to cover a area. Yeah, you could probably just jump into the water
and swim there. That's exactly what I said. So then listen to this. You take the lifeboat to the shore, then you get in the taxi, and you go half a mile down the road where you can still see everything, where you just were, and then you get in the boat, and they say, okay, now we're going to take you out snorkeling. The boat goes, and I'm not exaggerating, I swear to God, 10 feet. The boat goes 10 feet away from shore, and they say, okay.
Right.
Now we're going to stay here an hour.
Jumped right off the lifeboat.
Yeah, right. And they say, we're going to stay here an hour and snorkel here for an hour, and then we're going to go, and we're going to see a ship that sank 65 years ago.
Cool.
So I'm thinking, okay, this is all right. I'm enjoying the snorkeling. I'm seeing the coral and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The hour goes by. We all get back on the boat. It's okay, get ready. We're going to see the sunken ship. I swear to God, the boat goes 10 feet the other way. I'm not exaggerating. 10 feet. I mean, we're here. Everybody off. Like I said, why'd they get us on? They got us on this boat to get our money.
They want to create the illusion of an adventure. They're really just, did you see the shipwreck, though? That's what, that's probably something they threw like an oil barrel over the side.
Yeah, whoop-dee-doo. It was a ship that sank.
That's cool.
It was a ship that sank.
10 feet away from the reef.
Yeah, from the other place. And then I made the huge mistake of diving down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you take your snorkel off and actually dive down there. Don't touch the coral or anything. You can dive down and see the boat. So that's cool. I dive down there, forgetting that I got this thing with my ear. I get about halfway down, and all of a sudden, I feel like my ear is going to explode. And I come back up to the top, and I kick the mask off, and I go, like for the next day, I could hear nothing out of my ear.
Put you in the decompression chamber, because you wouldn't be
nothing out of my ear.
At least you didn't suck any water in there, through the snorkel.
No, and as it turns out, then a day later, everything cleared up in my ear, and I think it was because I went, way down deep and kind of...
You broke it up.
Pressurized. Blew all the gunk out. Mm-hmm. All the junk out. But the next excursion we took,
it attracted fish. It
was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I gave them some free food.
All my ear goobers.
Mm.
When we went to be with the fishes, though, to be with the dolphins. Now, that was fun.
That's got
to
be very cool.
That was fun. But even that, there was some hype in this.
They said, was there any cheese factor at all in that?
Here's the only thing it was cheese. They said, we're going to an ecologically safe park.
Okay.
So they said, you can't bring suntan lotion. You can bring no food, nothing to drink, because we're saving all of this. All the environment is safe, okay?
Right.
So you go through all this crap when you're getting into this place. It's in Mexico. All this crap. As soon as you get through the gates, they got guys selling Doritos and selling Coca-Colas.
Oh.
All that crap is just because they want to sell you the stuff. They don't want you to bring your own food.
Oh, my God.
So I said to Frieza, we're walking through it. You see, Milky Way wrappers on the ground.
Oh, no.
I said, what is this crap about this being an ecologically safe park?
Oh, God.
It's garbage everywhere. And you sit down on the beach, and they're bringing you the big drinks inside the hollowed-out pineapples, and people... You know the way they talk?
Right.
Then they blew,
like Flipper.
Yeah, then they blew water out of the blowholes,
right.
And they said, don't put your hands on their face. If you put their hands on the face, they'll bite you.
Right.
But everybody else...
I just picture you in this situation.
Oh, I'm going to bring you pictures tomorrow.
That's
cool.
It was
fantastic.
That's cool.
I found it to be the one thing on the trip that I really loved.
The high point.
Yeah. Now, of course, there was a bunch of foreigners there, a bunch of French people there who didn't understand this thing about don't put your hand on the dolphin's face.
Right.
Right? So these people, that's all they want to do is, poke the dolphin's eyes out. And all you hear all the time is a whistle on the sidelines. They're going, no touchy the face. And they're doing like that with their hands going, they bite. Ow, bite at you. They bite at you.
Did any of the French people get bitten?
No, sadly, nobody got bitten.
Damn.
But we bonded with these fish, and there was one fish that I really dug.
Really?
And I was petting him and junk, and then they lined us. We were up in a huge wading pool. Then they lined everybody up in a line from one side of the pool to the other. All of us together shoulder to shoulder. And then the dolphins came up, 10 of them at once in a big long line.
Mm-hmm.
They jumped over us. Then they swam around and from behind jumped over us again.
That's very cool.
And if that wasn't the coolest thing ever.
And they looked all healthy and stuff like that. You know,
they looked relatively healthy.
I mean, I picture like they're in a swimming pool, you know. They're just kind of like floating on their backs or something.
This one dolphin that I was friendly with had like a big chunk out of his flipper.
Oh, really?
You know, the big like flipper on top, there was a chunk missing. And he also had what looked like indentations in his upper body.
Hmm. Where they probably take a cattle prod or something like that.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, that's what I always picture those places. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, swimming with people.
But that was very cool.
That was very nice.
That's neat. That's a neat experience.
That I did enjoy. And there was no bitching or complaining at all, except for the fact that, you know, they said don't bring food.
And then there were candy wrappers.
And then they charged you 2,000 pesos for a bag of Doritos.
But that's neat. A lot of people say that's a wonderful experience.
Oh, it was great. It was great. Hold on. I got just a little bit more to say. Hold on. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
The Don and Mike Show.
You could not enter that contest, my sweet.
Well, thank you, boo-boo.
I did log lots of quality time with my wife in that regard.
That's good. That's a good thing.
It was like us anyway.
If this ship's a rocket, don't bother knocking. Don't bother knocking.
And a lot of times, we were playing so dangerous when we thought Bart would be out on the ship with his friends.
Right.
We'd be having some wonderful relations, and then we'd just get things wound up, and then... Oh, dear. 5 seconds after we've done the door with Doc.
Uh-oh. We always remember to double lock. So listen, honey. Hi.
Yes, hello, boo-boo.
I think I've recounted the vacation.
Richmond?
Pretty truthfully thus far. Do I miss you?
Yeah, we haven't been spending all day together.
No, not at all. And I know that you were anxious to get rid of me, too. You know what I mean? That togetherness goes a long way for about a week.
Right.
But then after a week...
Oh, forget about it. I'm ready to come back to work.
We got along pretty good.
Yeah, we did, except for that one day with the horseback
riding
thing.
You know, and I debate whether to take our relationship to that new level or not. A little honesty. You know, we are. You said to me, I thought we were best friends. We were having a great time together. But really, we're best friends when we're doing what you want to do.
Because this is exactly what I heard.
You know, but we're never best friends doing something I had chosen to do.
It's funny how that works, isn't it?
It should be a little more give and take, don't you think? I'm sure. I'm sure Mike would agree. Mike, you know.
Afraid I'm just back from vacation. Don't I want to start the week off like this, please?
You know what he did on
vacation. Buzz is here, Fred. Buzz, your friend here.
Yeah, Fred, I know. That was pretentious thrown at you, Mike. I know Buzz really does. Buzz has a 50-50 relationship, I'm sure.
Pretty much. Close, anyway. Mm-hmm. What do we have? What do you think we have?
We have a 99.9 and a 0.01 relationship. And even when I get you to do it, you said, well, I'm not a mind reader. You have to tell me when you want to do something.
This is part of the argument we have.
I agree with you there.
Well, but I said to him, so the next day I said, well, instead of eating breakfast at the buffet, I'd kind of like to go into the dining room and order breakfast. And it was like, oh. And it's so pained whenever I ask.
You know, we're on vacation. That's the whole thing. You're on a cruise ship. You're on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do we got to go to the fancy dining room where you have to waste an hour and a half sitting there waiting for the guy to come? You can just go up to the buffet and get the same food, sit down, eat it, and be done in 30 minutes.
I wanted a fried egg. Was it asking too much? You know, you couldn't get that on the buffet, and I just wanted to order that at breakfast. But, that's the point. You ask me why I don't tell you when I want to do something. It's because a simple, tiny request, it's such an imposition.
Well, it was, honey. To be honest, it was. Because if I had any complaint about this cruise, and we were on, as I mentioned, a fantastic ship, the only complaint I had was that...
The Minnow, wasn't it?
The SS Minnow, Mike. They had all these dress-up nights.
Right.
It drove me crazy.
Like costumes?
It was like a costume, wearing grown-up clothes.
You know, you had to wear suits, and you had to wear ties and jackets every night to dinner, which is...
There were no jeans at dinner.
There wasn't like an exposed buttock night or anything.
Oh, except for the Sopranos, honey.
Yeah, the Sopranos who sat near us.
There were two families on this cruise that we spent the majority of our time goofing on.
there was this one family. We called them the Sopranos.
The Sopranos.
These guys were obviously from New Jersey.
Right. Okay.
And they broke every rule. They came into the dining room. They didn't wear fancy clothes. They wore jeans and golf shirts.
Oh, right.
No socks. Mm. They broke. I said to Frida, the first night they came in, I said, look, you make me wear this monkey suit, but look at these guys. These guys are just wearing jeans and golf shirts.
And they let them in there, and they didn't give them a hard time?
And we started eavesdropping on them, because they were at the table next to us.
Oh, good.
And they all talk like this. Hey!
Yo, what's doing?
How you doing? And we started talking about them, and right away, Frida says, I bet that they are Sopranos. And I said, no, honey, they're gorillas. They're not, these guys are not in organized crime.
Well, he refused to believe. I said, all you know of organized crime is what you've seen on TV, and they're all articulate and suave and funny on TV. In real life, it's an uneducated, not too classy a person. I would guess that, they might be real life Sopranos.
I disagree. I really think that everybody that's connected with that type of family would be probably as sophisticated as they are on TV.
Thank you, Rob. These guys are Goombas, Mike. These guys are total Goombas.
And they wouldn't be in any organized crime position.
Well, you're afraid of Mike. You're afraid of me, and now you're afraid of organized
crime. Frida, you'll find that even more you talk to me, I'm afraid of everything. She said, if you don't think they're in organized crime, what do you think they're in? Look at them. They look like wise guys. They're obviously dumb as a box of rocks. They're loud. Oh, my God, they're loud. Mm-hmm. It's like we're in this dining room where they have violin music playing and everybody talking in hushed tones, and these guys are going, do you believe that? Hey, bring me another one of them drinks. I mean, this is how these guys are talking.
You didn't want to like lean over there and go, hey, shut up.
No, it's terrifying.
The Sopranos, Benny was respectful of them.
I said, well, maybe they're plumbers or something. I don't know, maybe they're handymen. I don't know what they are. She said, well, how do you explain the fact that there's three of them traveling together?
Right.
With their girlfriends, and this is kind of an expensive cruise. Said,
and they were wearing very expensive jewelry, lots of it.
Ooh. Well, they were Italian, honey. I think generally Italians like to bask themselves nice fancy gold.
I don't think that's so.
And they sit next to the Irish people that are just, lying in their own puke every night.
And these guys, it was very dignified and refined dining room, but these guys every night ordered the same after dinner drink. Mm-hmm. They ordered this, what was it, honey, Mexican coffee? Were these guys?
No, I think it was Irish coffee there. I forgot
what. But it was set on fire. Yeah. When the waiter would come over, we watched all the crap he poured Kahlua and something that looked like it was in a Mrs. Butterworth bottle.
Okay.
They pour all this stuff and they light it on fire, and they would pour it from one big pitcher into another while it was on fire.
Cool.
And then they would...
Frangelica, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. You stumbled onto your area of expertise.
I'm not afraid of
that. You're not afraid of that at all. Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah.
All right. Come on, man. Come on. Yeah, you can't scare me.
One more. That's what these guys would have every night. And I only had one conversation with them once I was in the elevator. And the one that we called Tony Soprano, the guy who was the biggest and obviously the leader of the group. I was wearing a baseball hat that said NFL on it.
Right.
And he got into the elevator and he said, that is a beautiful hat. He said it just like that. He said, where did you get that beautiful hat? I said, I got it at the Redskins Stadium. Do you think I could get that at the Giants Stadium? Oh, man. And we got off the elevator.
You didn't give it to him? Oh, my God.
He said to his friends, look at this guy's beautiful hat. Right? So we spent a lot of time with the Sopranos. Also, there's another family we called the Kennedys. And there were these people from Massachusetts,
right?
One day that we weren't on, we had like a little secret spot that we would go where like nobody else on the ship went to. Mm-hmm. But one day we were down on the main deck, and I spotted out a couple of seats right by the side so we could see the ocean go by.
Right.
And we were sitting there, Frieden and I, having a good time, and all of a sudden, a group of like 14 people from Massachusetts came down. He's the biggest big mouth in the world. Screaming their heads off. Hey, how about that there, huh? Yeah, ha, ha, ha. Hey, you're a good one, yeah. How about a pina colada there, huh? With those annoying Massachusetts accents.
Traveling en masse, with a group of 40 people.
A group of 14 of them. We called them the Kennedys, so we would spend all of our time on the trip either goofing on the Sopranos.
Right.
Or the Kennedys.
But you wouldn't speak to any of these people.
Oh, no.
No, of course not.
No, of course we just goofed on it. We didn't talk to anybody. The only people we talked to were...
Should have given the guy the hat, though.
We talked to Tom and Carolyn, our neighbors that went on the trip, but they're the only people we talked to.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, your wife, Frida, you normally like to socialize and meet new people on these things.
It's who I'm with. It's who I went with.
We did go to the show.
When I went on vacation by myself a couple of months ago, I made best friends. I mean, we were tearful at the goodbye, but, you know, I'm not with the cruise. He's not exactly the cruise director type.
Oh, and that cruise director, his cruise director was a fag deluxe. Now, our name for him was Jim J. Bullock, because I mean to tell you, this guy was a dead ringer, and he talked the same way. He had these shiny saddle shoes that he would wear all over the place.
Sure.
I am your cruise director. Remember his name?
Was he wearing shorts?
All the time.
Oh, good.
My name is Jim Cannon, and I'm your cruise director, and I want to say, welcome to the Celebrity Theater. Tonight our show is Bon Voyage, and perhaps you can tell that we're going to be singing you some of your favorite James Bond movie songs. Oh. It was all fun to sit through these shows.
But the jokes were so good. No, don't tip me. I get paid weekly, very weekly.
Oh God, that kind of material?
Yeah.
He comes out and he does his shtick, and then he says, now we want to welcome, straight from HBO and Showtime, Noodles Wiseman.
Levenstein.
Noodles Levenstein. This comedian. And this comedian was the worst of comedian I've ever heard in my life. Here's some of his material. He comes out and he's got a purple jacket on. He comes out and he goes, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I shaved Barney before the show. So I got this jacket.
Oh, got a Barney joke.
And because the people are all drunk and old, they're laughing and stuff. And this guy goes, hey, you're a hip crowd. You get the stuff.
Yeah, you're a hip crowd. You're good.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. What's a dilemma to a Jew? A dilemma to a Jew? Free ham.
Oh, God. That's so old.
I know, man. Oh.
The quality of the jokes that we were getting. Did anybody do in your, you know, did you were free to do the fake laugh, which makes something like that a little.
No.
You know, that's where you just lean back. That's where Rob's great in the show like this. You'll be, ha, 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 ha.
I was just too mad. I was sitting there just giving Frida and Tom and Carol and the people way more. I'm looking at them. And they're like laughing. I'm just looking at him. Why don't we just leave? This guy sucks. Why are we? He goes, shh, quiet. This is the entertainment. And so we had to sit and listen to Noodles. And then when Noodles got done with his awful set, then the cruise director came back and said, that's Noodles. Isn't he great? Now listen, Noodles will be out in the lobby after the show. He'll be filming his videotape. And if you have a chance, let's go up and say hi to him. He's a fantastic guy. I love the theme. It's Mr. Noodles. Noodles Levenfall. Whatever the guy's name was.
Noodles.
And then they had a guy come out. The other act was a guy came out, and he walked all over the stage on a ladder.
Oh, really?
This was this guy's show.
Exciting.
Wow.
And hey, the ship's moving, too, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Guy came out on stage, and that was his whole show. He put a kid up on his shoulders, and he walked on a ladder, and he had a 6-foot unicycle. And he rode around the stage.
Showbiz!
And we got done watching this show.
You may have found actually the people that are on the lower rung of show business this time.
I was telling him, you know, in a few years, what if in 15 years you and Mike are doing your Las Vegas style show? And you know, it would have to be toned down because, you know, Noodles has got a lot spicier material when he's on.
Yeah, and Noodles has.
But you could do the Las Vegas show on
Noodles had to work clean. Like,
yeah.
I thought that a couple of good placed F words might have helped his pathetic material.
Well, that usually helps any comedian.
But it was, you know, his stuff was like, hey, how about that midnight buffet, huh?
Oh, God.
Crazy. And those cabins. Hey, did you see the free gifts in your cabin? It's called the soap and the shower cap. The morons on this ship were eating this up like they're watching Jerry Seinfeld up there. They gave him a standing ovation when he got there.
That must have made you very happy.
For Noodles.
Very happy with a standing over Noodles.
Fortunately, the next night we went to a movie. They had a movie theater on this show.
Cool.
Yeah, we went to see Rush Hour with Jackie Chan. Now, that's entertainment. That I like. That I really did like.
Going to see movies and shoot 'em ups.
Yeah, Jackie Chan. I hate that. Who's that Chris Rock imitator, honey?
Oh,
see the guy that was in the Bruce Willis movie?
Yeah. What's it? Chris Tucker.
Yeah, that's right.
That guy is annoying. I got one more thing to tell you about. This is true. The very last night, we're in the dining room. And they're having the farewell dinner. Excuse me. And everybody's wearing their suits and ties and stuff. And this is just the peak of people, how stupid people are on these cruise ships. The cruise director comes down the big double stairways. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jim Cannon. We want to thank you for joining us here on Celebrity Cruises. And now I'd like to present your waiters and busboys. So the waiters and the busboys from the restaurant, they play music.
They can bring in the dessert.
Yeah, they got to bake the last one, right?
Mm-hmm.
They all come down. They go, now your waiters and waitresses and your bar staff. And I was like, all right. So they're going to walk down the aisle. Everybody in the whole dining room got up with their cameras and their video cameras. I said, Frida, Who wants to take a picture of 100 waiters coming down a stairwell?
Didn't they have, like, candles or sparklers or something?
They were each carrying a tray that had a dessert on it. But the waiters and the waiters and the waitresses, they had the dessert. But, like, the bus boys, they didn't have anything. They just come marching through. And people are jockeying for position.
Yeah, it's like a parade.
I've told you, people are dying to be entertained.
Oh, it was the most idiotic thing I've ever seen. The dumbest thing I've ever seen. I was just sitting there going, look at all these people. And video cameras. Now, I know it's boring to watch somebody's video things. Could you imagine sitting at somebody's house and say, okay, here's the parade of waiters. Watch this. And then the next day, they showed it again on the in-cabin video service. They showed the whole thing again. And that was it.
Because it's quality entertainment.
That was our cruise.
Well, we had the best vacation ever.
Oh, we did. We had a very nice vacation.
That's good. It sounds like, actually, with all the stuff that happened, that you had a pretty good time.
We did.
Yeah, and that's why I got a little cocky and had a little too much honesty. And I'm sorry, boo-boo.
And you had a little too much to drink also that last night we were on the ship.
You
had a whole bottle of booze by yourself.
I didn't want it, but it was
wine?
Paid for.
Was it wine? Champagne.
Yeah.
Wow.
She says, I don't want any champagne. No, please no champagne. I go to get a glass of champagne and there's none left.
Now, if you really want to have a good time and you're talking about a whole bottle, damn, try it with vodka.
Oh, you know, Mike, you would love this job. They had a lady on the boat and her name was the wine stewardess.
Oh.
And she had what looked to be like a mini, what's the word I want to use?
It was,
a hubcap. A very small hubcap on a chain around her neck.
She was sommelier, right?
And what she would do is she'd come over, and when she would open up a bottle of wine or champagne, she gets to pour some into this little thing, and she drinks it up and tells you if it's good or not.
Right.
What a job. I said, Mike would love that job.
That's cool. I'd love that. They're very trained, highly trained. They know a lot about wine.
Yeah, but Mike would keep testing it.
And I would just say, this is not quite right.
And I only wish...
I'm sorry, your bottle's half empty.
I only wish that I would have kept all the Cuban cigars, because when we went to Mexico and went to the Cayman Islands, they sold Cuban cigars. They were real cheap.
Very cool.
But they told us, can't bring any off the boat.
I wish they'd stop that now that we're playing baseball over there.
Because you got to go through this thing with customs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we just got enough to smoke on the boat, enjoyed all the cigars, we got off the boat, here's customs. You know you got to fill out that form that like says what you bought and stuff,
right?
Mm-hmm. Frieda and I were expecting, the way they described it on the boat, we were expecting a body cavity search, right? We got off the boat, and they say, your paper looks good. Welcome back to America. Not only did they not look at our bags, they didn't even look at our passports.
You're off the boat.
Wow.
It's like, you're off the boat. Welcome to America.
Freedom.
Welcome to America.
Oh, I should have brought some cigars.
I wish you had.
Should have done it. Oh, indeed. I know you always worry about this.
I was recognized on the ship.
You were?
Really?
Guy from Portland, Maine.
Cool.
I was in the cigar bar one night.
That's always nice when you're on vacation.
Yeah, a guy came up and said, Don, please. Not here.
Not
on vacation.
Not here. Meet me in the back of the boat.
Not here.
Please, certainly not.
But it was a pretty good vacation. Very glad to be back at home. Glad to be back at work.
And Mary, do you echo that?
Yes, I do. And we want to do it again. We want you all to go too. We want everybody to go.
Oh, and it's a big winner at blackjack. Also, a big winner at poker.
Oh, I forgot. I forget they have the old casinos.
Yeah, I played poker with a bunch of old guys.
Cool.
And the last hand we played,
did you win?
Texas Hold'em.
Oh, cool.
Big winner.
I took
all their money.
Oh, that's
cool. And as a matter of fact, the day that we went to swim with the dolphins, when we went to this place, they didn't take credit cards. They only took pesos or dollars.
Right.
So we thought we weren't going to be able to do it because we didn't have any credit cards with us. I reached in my pocket, I realized, hold on a second.
Your wings.
What about all this money I won from those schmucks last night in the card room?
Real. That's the real deal when you do that in, like, a casino. Very
big winner.
Very exciting.
Well, he didn't do it in the casino.
No, I just took these from these old guys in the card room.
Oh,
really?
Afraid to play in the casino.
I did play blackjack in the casino and won, though.
It's a pretty intimidating thing when you go into a casino and you see a poker play in any kind of casino.
I don't think it moves too fast.
It does. That's exactly why I didn't play myself.
I didn't understand what they were doing. I did win at blackjack and then quit when I won.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh, and my son was a big winner at bingo.
Bingo!
My son won like $160 playing bingo.
Yeah,
your biggest winnings came in the card room, like with those 80-year-old men, right?
Yeah. I took them all. I took all their money.
So long, suckers.
All right. Love you, honey.
All right. I love you.
Love you.
And boo-boo.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that's it.
That sounds like a good vacation.
Congratulations. It was pretty good. It had
everything, the recipe was there for disaster.
That's right.
But it all worked out okay.
That's good. That's good. If you can come away with a good experience, that makes it all special.
Worked out great. You would get right out of there, no customs. As it turns out, we ended up with like 3 hours to spend at the Fort Lauderdale Airport yesterday.
And who doesn't want to spend 3 hours there?
Fantastic, though.
And no aborted landings on the way home.
No. Everything is absolutely fine. Let's do a quick break, and then I know that you were down at Disney World.
Oh, yeah. I'll be going to a theme park. Let me see. I got almost four and almost two. We decided when they're 30, we're going to go back to theme park.
And you did other stuff besides go to the theme park?
Yes, yes. But the day that I didn't go to the theme park, the day my wife took my children, I missed the biggest celebrity sighting of the year for our family.
You know, give me a hint on this, because you wouldn't tell me just in the office.
I'd give you a hint, but it's too, you'll get it too quickly, because it's that.
Is it male or female?
Both.
A RuPaul?
No.
Rodman?
No, two people.
Oh, two people.
Oh, yes, okay. A couple. Yeah.
Male and female.
Mm-hmm.
At Disney World.
Yeah.
Kathy Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Oh, I wasn't there.
I never win those games.
I wasn't there.
I never win those games.
I wasn't. And my wife gave me a full description, too.
Okay, well, let me hear it when we come right back.
She said she noticed the first thing was the bozo hair.
Okay. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. No way that you could come from my loins. As soon as I get home, the first thing I'm going to do is punch your mama in the mouth.
If you like, I will repeat it. Better yet, I'll let you eat it. The Don and Mike Show.
Vegas, I will show tomorrow night. You just say that on the air. Hey, Johnny. Vegas style show tomorrow night. Oh, it is Johnny Pop. Hey, Johnny, buddy.
Hi. Boy, John Pop's coming in with something that looks like a gift.
Hold on, Johnny. Hold on. There you go.
I'm sorry. I heard your story, and it's your lucky day because I happen to have my humidor with me, and it just happens to have a few of my Cuban friends inside.
Oh, Johnny,
wow,
buddy.
Oh, look at that.
Johnny, buddy.
Wow. We got a nice Partagas Cuban friend.
Oh, thank you, John. Nice. Oh, look at that.
Mm. Have an H. Upman Cuban friend for you.
Oh, thank you. You've given me one of these before. I love this.
My Cuban friends come and visit from time to time.
Thank you, John Pop.
John Pop, producer of the G. Gordon Liddy Show. Very well connected.
Oh, and John, don't forget your cooler.
Oh, yes.
Your human liver or whatever you got in there.
I must get that to the hospital right away.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you, Johnny.
Enjoy.
All right. Thank you very much, Johnny Pop.
Nice.
John Pop, bringing on the Cuban smokes.
Good guy.
And for over 10 years, this jockey, band leader, and entertainer.
Entertainer, and a fine entertainer he is.
Thank you, Johnny. Las Vegas-style show tomorrow night will be at Daytona's Party Warehouse in Pasadena, Maryland. Look at that, just back from vacation one day and already tomorrow night, a Las Vegas-style show.
We are very, very, and I like to go any place that's called a warehouse. I think that bodes well for the show.
We hit the stage tomorrow night at 9, and listen to this lineup, would you please? The Homo Joe Challenge.
Yeah, Homo Joe will be there.
All new for 99. We'll be abusing Lewis the Retard tomorrow night. Smell Your Gal. That's a brand new game. The Monica Lewinsky Gigantic Cigar Challenge for as many as five girls tomorrow night.
Wow.
On the big screen, we'll be showing the videotapes of Christine Kerner nearly nude. Also, Dennis Murphy skydiving in Sacramento.
It's a special videotape.
And, of course, the climax of the evening. The underwear or lack thereof fashion show.
You're going to love it.
We got to see what the local authorities think before we decide if it's underwear show or lack thereof. Either way, tomorrow night, Las Vegas-style show at Daytona's Party Warehouse, Pasadena, Maryland. We hit the stage at 9.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to WJFK in Baltimore, we're right in your neighborhood. See you tomorrow night.
Very, very cool.
Okay, your vacation. You were down in Middle Florida, Central Florida?
Orlando, and, went down there and also flew in my mother. That's the thing I was talking about today. Everybody I was telling that I was bringing my mother down there.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to bring the family down there, the kids, and my mother.
Mommy.
And we rented a house down there in Central Florida and so we could be centrally located and go to all the theme parks. And I realized the first day that we went to the Disney experience, the first thing we did was we went into the Magic Kingdom to experience the hoop-dee-doo whatever parade.
The hoop-dee-doo review, Mike.
Not the hoop-dee-doo. That's another thing, but it's like they're going to have their...
you know, celebration of all their merchandise or whatever the hell it is. But, you know, it's the thing where they have a parade, and we're going to take my almost 4-year-old and my almost 2-year-old into the park to see the parade, and we got into the park, and it really looked like it wasn't crowded until we turn around the corner and we see everybody sitting on the curb for this parade, and then just legions of people were descending on this area, and we'd only been in there for a half an hour.
What time did it open up?
We probably 9 o'clock in the morning, but we went there later on in the day because I had to take care of a little business in the morning.
Golf.
But that was planned, and I want to thank my wife because she gave me 4 golf outings. I was able to play golf 4 times, which made it a real vacation for me, and I was really grateful that she let me do this.
You're going to say made it a real family vacation.
I am guilty of abandoning my family on several occasions. You're dealing with 4 women. I have 2 daughters, I have my mom, and I have my wife, and it just... In the middle of the week, we figured out that everybody kind of wanted to do their own thing. I wanted to play golf. Laura kind of got into going to the little, you know, theme park areas with the kids. And my mom just basically wanted to sit in the house all day. Because she's going to be 79 years old.
Lucky lady.
Sure. She's going to be 79. And, you know, running around the park is very... She wanted to see Epcot, and that when she got
Was
to
it
do
your
that,
mom the designated babysitter, though?
Well, not really, because with a 2-year-old, it's tough to you know, chase my daughter Elizabeth around. But we were all together the first 2 days. And the first day we all went into the park, it was for this parade that they said started at 3 p.m. The Disney parade. Disney celebrates all their crap. And so,
I mean, you know, that's how the guy announces that.
Yeah,
stuff
the Disney,
too,
please, honor America. Welcome to Disney parade, as we say, and we're waiting. So 3 o'clock, we sit down. And when you sit down with an almost 4 and an almost 2-year-old, 3 1/2 and 2 1/2, roughly, and you sit down there and you're saying, okay, this is, and I should say 1 1/2, not 2 1/2. And you're getting ready, and they say 3 o'clock. So he said, okay, we get there about 20 minutes before 3. We wander around with the kids. We sit down at about 10 of. And then that's when the clock goes into this. And the minutes, there's a lot of that heavy time, you know, where the minutes just did not click along as you're waiting. And I found that the theme parks and me, you know, when we used to go down and do the theme parks, we'd go down as radio people and they'd say, hey, would you like to see this ride? You're part of the media, and bingo, you go to the head of the line and you get through. And
I told you, they got that deal, though. You pay $100.
Wouldn't do it. It's not $100. It's $1 million. It's $1 million.
I heard really.
More, no.
It's more than $100.
How much is it? It's Universal. It was prohibitive.
They got a deal, though. If you pay money, they give you a thing. You can go to the front of every single line.
See, right. I didn't find that out, and I was like on the website trying to find
it. And not to mention the fact, hold on, Mr. Cheapskate, you already had 3 tickets to get into Disney World.
I did, yeah, and I would like to thank Jeff Shrinsky for providing
everything on the cheap.
It was the cheap. We didn't spend, you know, for the things we did. You know, outside of the all-you-can-eat lobster buffet, which was supposed to be a good value, we didn't spend a heck of a lot of money down there. I mean, the house was very inexpensive, you know, because they're one right after the other, and they're all there. We get to the park, and we're sitting down, and we're getting ready for the parade. 10 minutes up, we sit down. Well, Elizabeth, you know, 1 1/2 years old, running around, and she's difficult to stay, to keep her in one place, along with all the other kids. So 3:10, you know, it's starting to get a little. I look at my mom and I was like, "Oh my man!"
The parade hadn't started on time.
No, someone tells me later on this big fat guy that we were sitting next to on the sidewalk. He said, "Oh well, it starts way up there near the Cinderella's castle." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. I guess you've seen it before, wuss." And so we sit down, and all of a sudden they have these acts that preview the Disney parade. And so you have like the barbershop quartet with the guys with the bells.
I hate those guys.
Well, I hated these guys because they were so Disney. One guy, Rob, I got to tell you, Rob, we found your cousin. We found your cousin because he was in this singing group. And it's just like, I want a girl just like the girl. You know, they can't stop my kids from running through the street. And so the parade finally starts and it's pandemonium. And then, Fat Boy, who's sitting next to me, who was Mr. Expert, who was there with a woman my mother's age, but no children, which kind of was just weird that they were in the magic. This guy really was about my age. He was
like,
it's
turned on by this stuff.
It was weird.
It did the boner.
It was weird, but he was so big, and we're trying to get everybody situated, and they start the parade, and everybody starts going crazy, and then the Lion King and all the characters and all the little movies, my daughter,
the characters.
The characters are all coming down the street, and at 3... About 3:35, 3:40, this parade starts. We've been there since 10. All right, I've been in this park for 1 hour, and I'm done. I'm already, I hate it. I don't want to ever come in here again. I hate it so totally because the first experience was a bad experience.
Right, right.
So they, after the parade breaks up and she sees all the characters, and then they have this one thing where all the kids are asked to run out into the street, and they got people, you know, those security people with the headphones?
Yeah, with the earpieces. Yeah.
We got to monitor, make sure the parade's going okay. Yeah, I'm going to monitor the parade, and okay, now we're going to let all the kids run into the street and play with some of the characters. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, they're going to play with the dwarfs, and then they ask them all to go back. Well, a mother loses her kid because the parade starts again going, you know, it's a wonderful park as we're all walking along. And so they go, and so they keep the parade going. This mother's like yelling at one of the security guys, so that's pandemonium. And it makes you realize you got to, you know, hold on to your kids,
right? So after that, we decided we would go to the back of the park and go on the Dumbo ride. Well, I hold my daughter, my oldest daughter, for 45 minutes to go on the Dumbo ride. And this is the payoff you get when you have someone who's 3 and a half. You wait for 45 minutes holding your daughter, and you're waiting with everybody else. And in back of me was one of those mothers that if it's in her pea-sized brain, it has to be coming out of her mouth, where everything, she has like 16 kids with her. It's got, Aaron, now we're going to go. We're just a few more minutes for the ride. And every single thought she had, she is verbalizing, which is the only thing, because when you get in a line like that, you get to a point where you just accept it. You realize you're just going to sit there, and you get in this kind of calm, this acceptance. And I hate waiting in line for anything, but I'm accepting this because, you know, I realize it's for my daughter. It's
right.
Going to be okay, and I'm holding her because she doesn't want to stand. And then she wanted me to take her shoes off because her feet were itching. And so I had to take her shoes off, take her socks off, scratch the little part on the bottom of her foot, and put her shoes back on as I'm still holding her, and which is a tough task while you've got the woman going, we're gonna get ice cream after we go on the Dumbo ride. We're gonna go, and this mother who is talking at a level that you could have heard her in Tallahassee, Florida. She's going, all right, Aaron, don't pull Cindy's hair. We finally get up to the ride, and you know it's the Disney. I mean, didn't Disney invent that thing where you go up and down and up and down and up and
all
down?
All designed to make you think you're getting there, but actually you're not getting there.
Crap, because you're not going anywhere, and you're in it. And this is, at this point, we're 2.5 hours into the park. This is going to be it, as far as I'm concerned. Laura has my youngest, and they're off, eating fruit roll-ups or something like that. And we get up to the front of the line, and this is the payoff. We go in, and she says, I want to go on the Dumbo with the blue hat. And so I say, well, I think, and then people stampede the flying Dumbo ride, and we have to go on the Dumbo with the blue hat. So she's not happy. She's not throwing a fit or anything, but we get into the Dumbo with the pink hat, and then it goes on, and my wife timed it. I'll give her credit. It was less than 60 seconds. That's how long the ride was. That's 45. Yeah, that's the Disney.
Disney.
We did a lot of analysis of Disney.
Good.
Just kind of like watching what they do and how they do. The pre-show is another thing that they do, where they get you into the little room, and then you have a pre-show before the ride after. So you wait your hour and a half in line. So we get done, and immediately when the ride ends, she says, Daddy, I want to go on again. I said, well, we'll have to wait in that line again. And then we go off. We go off the ride. I said, this is it. For 3.5 years, this is the, I'm saying that's my wife. I said, this is the reward for the 45 minutes in line. We realize at that very moment that they're probably a little young for the experience because it's just too much going on. They're hurling like Belle from Beauty and the Beast and all these characters.
All the characters.
So we left at that point because, you know, they don't care. They're not really that aware of it. And we got out of there. And then I think we went to another Disney, went to the Animal Kingdom, where we don't go to any of the rides, though, because we're going to the little kids.
Right.
And they have what are called character pavilions, where you wait in line. And this was the second, I actually had about 3 days in the park. And we wait in the character pavilion line, which at 9:15 in the morning, it looked really like 16 buses must have just arrived when we got there.
Yeah.
They stampede into this character pavilion. And what they do is, you know, this is just advice for Disney. Why don't you hire like 18 extra midgets to walk around.
So everybody
can see the characters. But no, they don't want to do that because they want to treat these characters like they're some kind of celebrities, even though it's a sweaty 16-year-old in a suit, and you have to stand in line with a rope in front of you to meet the characters. And so we're standing in line.
And let me tell you something.
I am telling you right now that I don't mind parents with kids, because anybody that has kids, little kids that watch the movies, this is great for them. It's terrific. And, you know, you sympathize with the other parents. But here's what. The foreign tourists that are up there, in my case, 25-year-old kids from Japan, who were standing in line with their camera and their autograph book
to get Goofy to sign an autograph book, which didn't make any sense because, first of all, you're adults, you morons, and you're standing in front of my kid because you want Goofy to sign your stupid autograph. I couldn't.
Not really Goofy.
Not Goofy. It's a sweaty, pimple-faced kid in a suit, and I was so ticked off because they're sitting there, and then as we get closer, these mid-20s, I mean, that's how old they were, are all really excited with the camera and stuff like that, and then, can you sign my, and I'm like, how stupid, how is your technology so far ahead of ours?
Time out, Teva.
Couldn't believe it.
Do a break.
All right.
Calm yourself.
I will.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So am I.
Working harder than Buzz's newly improved complete colon.
Hey, Buzz.
Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Hey, the whole week we were gone, you know what people kept saying us about us, Mike?
We're done.
We like to party.
We love to party.
Yes, we do.
We love to party.
We certainly do.
We love to party.
Every chance we get.
Especially love the party with clown music.
And now, Disney celebrates the circus.
Would you like to see the characters?
Well,
how about a line? How about a long, sweaty, cheesy line?
All right, now you can tell us how your wife got pissed at the characters.
Okay, so this, not much more after this, because it actually, we had some nice experiences. Went to Emeril Lagasse's restaurant. You know,
the guy from the Food Network?
Cool. Which was the high point of my week, because, I mean, I love Emeril, and I was really jacked to see him. And it was, the morning after. Emeril does not skimp on, like, butter and fat and stuff like that. And I was kind of feeling that the morning after. Drank a little wine, too, at Emeril. But
shocker.
That was later in the week. This was, I think, the second day that we had actually gone into Animal Kingdom. We have to wait in line in these character pavilions. And I'm in back of the Japanese tourists that are, they're in their 30s probably at this point. It was 20s or 30s. They were adults. They shouldn't have been there with an autograph book and a camera. And we get into this one character pavilion, and there's Baloo, the bear from the Jungle Book. And then there's this, like, baboon character from the Lion King.
I heard he's Baloo Dead Bear.
And they are... You can tell as I'm watching them that they're obviously maybe friends or something in real life when they get out of their sweaty suits.
Under the costumes.
And so what the baboon is doing is kicking the bear, like in a funny way, but hard. And it was funny the first time I said, oh, look at that, Catherine. And then he kicks the bear again, and it's like, then he kicks it a third time, then a fourth time. And at this point, they're not paying attention to any of the people that are in the little character pavilion.
Character pavilion.
The stupid guy or girl, it had to be a guy, that's in the baboon suit is too busy getting his rocks off by kicking the bear, and they're not paying attention. And where my wife was just sitting there going, I don't know why they're kicking, they're not paying attention to the kids. And then, you see the maternal instinct come over. As the baboon gave his last kick to the bear, he turns around, and because he got these oversized heads, he walks right over my daughter. Like, uh-oh. Steamrolls right over, knocking her down. Ooh. Knocking her to the ground, which is... There was no major injury. Man, I wish you were there. Would have done that right now. Lawsuit!
Very litigious.
No, I'll tell you... I did not have the best time in the world in your party. And when my daughter was knocked over, I took him to court. So she starts yelling at the baboon. You know, it's like, hey, will you pay attention to the people that are here, the little kids, and not kick the bear? And so at that point, they stop and they pay attention to the kids. But as we're walking away, he gives one big kick. You know, like kind of an F-U kick to the bear. And, and at that point, I had to do that little... what am I going to do here? Am I going to, like, take a swing at a guy in a baboon suit that's probably a 16-year-old pimply kid? But at that point, I said, please, once again, let's just see if we can get out of here. So we averaged when I was there.
And now that's a switch.
Yes.
You being the peacemaker.
I was, she was mad, and I don't blame her, because he was so busy getting his jollies by kicking the big butt on Baloo, the bear from the Jungle Book, that he just, walked right over, steamrolled right over my daughter, who was waiting to meet him, and she got a little upset, and I don't blame her. And then, at the last minute when he did the little extra kick, but how can you get mad at, like, a character with this oversized fur head?
I just can't how you feel about your daughter. I'd be the same way if it was one of my kids, but those people in the suits, man.
Yeah, those people in the suits probably just like, oh, man. Well, they get breaks, though. You know what? They started the
That's
line.
That's an awful job wearing one of those suits.
It was 45 minutes. We stood in line for another, like, 40 minutes. We get up there, and when we get up to the front of the line, they had to actually open the...
pavilion about 45 minutes earlier, and they took a break after 45 minutes.
So they take their big heads off.
So they could take their big heads off and, like, choreograph the next kicking session that they were. So we got out of there. At that point, I said, well, I think they've had fun at the theme parks, but it's just too much stimulation. There's too much going on.
Too much day.
And at that point, my wife said to me, you know, I might take Catherine back to the Magic Kingdom one day to go on the teacup ride, because she really wanted to go on the teacup ride. And she looks at me, and this is when I heard the angels singing, because she looked at me and said, why don't you take Wednesday, and why don't you just go play golf? Play 36 holes if you want to. And I was just like, oh. And I looked at her, I said, oh, no, I can't do that.
I love you.
Go ahead. See you later. So I woke up with that music that you have when you're in the house alone. Yeah. The same day on Wednesday, go la, 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 la. And they and my mom basically wanted to just sit in the house, read a book, and relax, because she was exhausted, because she doesn't have little kids with her. And I said, hey, listen, you have a great time at that Disney theme park, okay? I'm a going golfing. So I took off and went to the golf course, spent the better part of the day there. I get back in the evening, and my wife tells me that while she was on the teacup ride, she is standing in line once again for another eternity, as you're standing in line, and she's got both kids with her, and they're both going to go on the teacup, and there's this commotion right before they're going to, at the moment that they got up to the front of the line, there's this commotion. And she sees these Disney guys with the little headphones,
the earphone things.
And she said it didn't click with her, because all she could see was they were letting this group of three, a very little girl, a slightly older man, and a woman on the teacup that was directly in front of them. But she said she couldn't see anything because the woman's back was to her, and she saw what looked like, she said, bozo hair. It was bozo kind of flame red hair. And but she noticed the commotion, and everybody in line was kind of doing a little... Well, the teacup ride starts, and she sees it's Kathy Lee Gifford.
Kathy C. Gifford.
Kathy Lee Gifford, Frank Gifford on the teacup ride.
Hey, Kathy.
And Cassidy, their daughter, are on this teacup ride at the same moment that my wife was on the teacup ride with our daughters. And I got the full description that she was wearing... My wife said she was wearing hot pink pants.
They look lovely, Kathy.
They're kind of the spike pants, you know, that go halfway down the calf.
Yeah.
And she was wearing...
Like Laura Petrie pants.
A shirt that was a little too tight. And she...
The trophies.
And then Frank was there, and she saw them later on.
Frank wearing PJs.
Frank.
He did a big diaper.
Frank was wearing a house coat. He was wearing... She said, in the harsh Florida sunshine, Frank... did not look good. He did not look happy, and I guess at one point, Kathy Lee, with an entourage of Disney security, went to the little girls' room as they were, because it's really, you know, relatively, it's not that big an area when you're around those little kid rides, and she saw Frank leaning up against a post, like a pole outside, and just scowling and kind of
hating life,
half talking to one of these Disney security guys.
Yeah,
and that was the Kathy Lee sighting.
I remember
Lee.
Great when I was banging that story.
And
see the chugs on her.
The only other thing she said was that Kathy Lee had huge sunglasses that were like plastic with white, like the big oversized movie star sunglasses that she was wearing. She said she was dressed really like almost like a clown. It was kind of weird that she saw her on the teacup ride, which was pretty exciting. So that was, and other than that, and other than the altercation with a couple of the characters, we had a pretty decent time there. The only thing that I didn't mind was going to that Universal Cities City Walk, which is a new thing that just opened up, which is terrific. They've got that. And unlike Pleasure Island, I don't like to slam Disney, but...
Oh, yes, you do. So do I.
Let me just take this opportunity. You don't have to pay $20 extra to go in and pay money at, like, the restaurants and bars that they have. I forgot one thing that we did.
What?
We went to Pleasure Island. That was our last night out. And my mom sat with the kids, and so we had a night out together. And they had one of those all-star record-your-own-song.
Did you do that again?
All right. Yeah, I'd had a few cocktails.
Shocker. What did you sing? Mac the Knife again?
No, we did a duet.
Oh!
We did a...
Oh, what song?
Well, you know, as a tribute to... there's been so much in the news about the late Sonny Bono saying...
Did I Got You, Babe?
We did I Got You, Babe.
He had really been drunk.
There was a package there, I think, like for $15, you get to record a little cassette, and then, you get, for an extra 15, like for $30, they'll they'll do a video.
You did the video?
We did the video.
Video.
We did the video.
Any chance you'll bring that to the Las Vegas Style Show?
Let me think about it. I'll let you know tomorrow. I'll have to check that. But it's not becoming at all.
I know that's why I like to show it at the show. Yeah.
But you go in and you record your little thing, I Got You, Babe, and we kind of messed up at the last part where I got you to wash my hair or whatever. I got you to da-da-da-da. We jumped in too early, and that's where we screwed up, and we were on our second take, and they only let you do two, so we had to lip sync to that part, too, and they put all this crazy psychedelic stuff in back. Yeah. My wife wore, like, a black wig, and they didn't have a sunny wig, so I just wore a Dr. Seuss hat.
He kind of looks like Sonny Bono anyway.
Yeah.
Everyday life.
Yeah, I'm a dead ringer for Sonny Bono.
Salvatore.
That was funny. You know, it just goes to show, no matter how stressful you are in the park, you know, with the right combination of adult beverages and quiet conversation with your friends, you can have a very good time.
Okay, time out there, Sonny.
You bet.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.